ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദം ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം ത്രിലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ണ വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീഅദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാമിക്ക് മായപൂർധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namah Vishwapadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namine Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshadarine. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി തോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന തം നമാമി ഹരിം വരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദശ്ചാത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ദാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ
കലവേണു കുണിതാദൃതാനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരിണ കണികാവികാവികാവി നമഃം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവൻ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമത് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാധീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മം പാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ ത്വത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹിനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈ രണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതമംഗജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്നുന്ദി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
Last Sunday we saw that the story of Dvivida, isn't it? Dvivida story. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as I mentioned before, that Krishna had 16,108 wives, and among them Rukmini is Mahalakshmi's incarnation. Tesham avraja kanya rukmini varavarnini kamalam shaina sambhuda sarvalakshana samyuda. Palmavranam says this about Rukmini, that Rukmini is nobody then that kamalam shaina sambhuda sarvalakshana samyuda. Kamalamsha means that she is the nobody else than Mahalakshmi herself had come as Rukmini. Then you will also notice that that how come Rukmini's brother Rukmi got so upset with Krishna that he became so inimical to Krishna. In Harivamsham it says that Tam Dadaunacha Krishnaya Tveshad Rukmi Mahabala Kamsasya Vatasam Tabal Krishna Yamida Dejase. When Krishna killed Kamsa, Rukmi got upset. Rukmi was his close friend, Kamsa's close friend. So Rukmi got upset for Krishna killing Kamsa. That was the reason behind that. So in this way, if you go, if you look at it, you can see there that different personalities who had come. Here it says, history of Jambavati. Who is Jambavati in the Puranam? Jambavati was married to Salagrama Puja. She used to worship Salagramam. And this Jambavati's history, if you look, it is very much similar to Ambarish Maharaj's story. Ambarish's story and Jambavati's stories are a little bit similar. That when she is the son of Somasya Putri Purvasagye Babuva Bharya Madhiya Jambavati, that she is Somaputri, that means moon's daughter. She was in your previous life. And she was married and stayed with her father, and she was always absorbed in worshipping Mahavishnu. And what was her stay? How did she worship Mahavishnu? Salagramam, feeding the brahmanas, bathing few times, chanting the holy name, worship of the deity of Mahavishnu, hearing Srimad Puranam, and Asojana Samsargam, that means Satsangam, Tirthayatra, traveling on pilgrimage. So in this way, she worshipped Krishna in her previous life. While traveling once in a pilgrimage, she arrived in Tirupati temple, Srinivasa temple. Pitra Sagam Kanyaga Sabi Vindrashesham Chalajam Srinivasanja Drashtam Jagamasa Margamadhe Harimjasa Chandaya Mase Ramabadimcha. And she became a devotee and stayed at Tirupati, who Jambavati. Stayed there as a devotee. Shushravasa Bhagavatam Puranam Shushravavai Venkatadre Prashamsam. There she met with a great yogi in Tirupati. His name was Jagishavya. And from him, she realized the glory of bhakti process, and the greatness of Mahavishnu from that yogi. And Srinivas got pleased with her worship in Tirupati and gave darshan to her. And he also gave her a mantra to chant by which she can come back to Srinivas, to Vishnu. She chanted that mantra very intensely and became perfect in that. And as instructed by Jagisha, the yogi, and she offered everything, the result of all her activities, to Mahavishnu. And she performed her penances till the appearance of Krishna. Afterwards, she gave up her body and took the birth as daughter of Jambavan. And that is how Jambavati had come. Krishi tirteshu sa kanya chachara tapa uttamam. Mamavadara paryantam charitva tapa uttamam. Yoga dharanaya deham. Tektua jambavato grihe. Jada jambavadi nama bavurde tasya veshmani. Tasya pita jambavansa samadat kanyagam tata. So all this is in the Puranam. And it is that Jambavati Krishna has married later as Krishna married her later on. So 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 that was about Jambavati. Then what has happened afterwards? That so it was the Jambavati's marriage happened, And then was Satyabhama, isn't it? Satyabhama was the next marriage. So, when Krishna came back with Jambavati, wearing Samantuka jewel in the neck, and came back to the palace in Dwaraka, all of them received Krishna. They never thought that Krishna will come back. So, they invited Satrajit and handed over the Samantuka jewel back to him and told him the whole history, how it happened, how Prasena went with the wearing the Samantuka jewel, how he was killed by the lion and how the lion was killed by Jambavan and how Jambavan gave it to play for his grandchild to play with it and all that. So, they handed it over to him. And Satyabhama was, after the marriage, while living in Dwaraka, one day asked Krishna an interesting question. Satyabhama says to Krishna that I am a human being. I'm a woman, normal human being here. And you are a great personality. How did I become qualified to become your wife? What did I do to be qualified to become your wife? Have I done something in my previous life that I have come to this situation? In Skandapuranam, this story comes. Satyabhama vacha dhanyamsmi kratakrityasmi sabalam jividam mama danam vradam tapo vapi kimnu purvam kratam maya yenaham marteja deva tava angardha hara bhavada. So, Krishna says to Satyabhama about her previous life. What was that? Satyabhama, how she got there? In her previous life, she was a daughter of a Brahmana called Deva Sharma. This Deva Sharma came in the lineage of Rishi Atri. Atri's lineage came this Brahmana Deva Sharma, and she was her daughter. And her name was Gunavati. Gunavati was her name. And her father married her to a boy called Chandra. Married her. And they never had children. And this has happened at the end of Satyugam. So one day what happened was, the husband and the father together, they went to the forest to collect kusha grass and firewood. That is Brahmanas what they need mostly. Firewood and the kusha grass. At that time, a rakshasa, a demon, caught them and killed them, both of them. And because they have performed such a rigid, austere life, they went back to Vishnulokam. Gunavati was very upset about that, and what she did was, she didn't have much money, whatever she had at home, she sold all that and performed the funeral rites of the parents. And from that day onwards, Gunavati lived a life of very severe austerities and penances. Very great devotion she performed, Ekadashi, Vratam and Kartikeya Vrata also. And then eventually she became very sick. While she was sick, one day while she was bathing in the river, that she was shivering and the body was in a very bad shape. And at that time, because of all her austerities and penances, an aeroplane arrived there and took her to Vaikuntha planet. So, when I appeared here, Krishna says, when I appeared here, you have come and your father has also come. Father had also come. That means that Deva Sharma, the Brahmana, had come and Gunavati. Both of them have come back. And that Gunavati is Satyabhama. And the father, Deva Sharma, he has come as Satrajit. And that disciple who was her husband, the disciple was a husband also, and he came as Akrura. So this is their background. So you can see all of them had previous relationship with Krishna in one way or the other in your previous lifetimes. So Satyabhama's story is mentioned like this in the Skanda Puranam, and then we have got the history of this Samandagam, how much problem it has created, isn't it, later in their life. So Parikshit Maharaj knows that this Samandaga jewel is the place where Kali lives. Where? Kali lives. Jadarupa Madat Prabhu. If you remember, when four places were offered to Kali to stay, which are the places where meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication and gambling. These four places were allotted to Kali to stay. Allotted to Kali by Parikshit Maharaj to stay. But then he bargained one more, little bit more, he said. So, like everybody does, isn't it? He made a little negotiated further. He's a deal maker, Kali. So, he negotiated a deal, and Parikshit told him, Jadarupa Madat Prabhu, that wherever there is a lot of wealth, you can stay there also. So, Shadadhanyo, you remember, there is a lot of interesting things in the what happened in Dwaraka at that time. Shadadhanyo became inimical to Satrajit, isn't it? What was the reason? Because he didn't give Satyabhama to her. Satyabhama to Shadadhanyo. So Satyabhama, he got upset with who? With Shadadhanyo got upset with Satrajit because of that. Apparently what happened was, Satyabhama was so beautiful, lot of Yadavas wanted to marry her. So Shadadhanyo asked, and Satrajit promised him that he will marry her. And he was disappointed that Satyabhama got married to Krishna. Akrura also was a devotee. And he was also wanted to marry Satyabhama. But in a weak moment, got involved in that. Of the death of Satyabhama's father, isn't it, Satrajit? That, you remember, Shadadhanyo went to Akrura and Kakavarmao and told them that they were behind it, actually encouraging Shadadhanyo to kill Satyabhama's father. So, who is Kakavarmao? Kakavarmao is nobody else than he was the commander of the army, one of the commanders of the army in Dwaraka. And remember when Arjuna went to Krishna, and Duryodhana also came to Krishna before Mahabharata war and wanted help from Krishna. So it was decided Duryodhana can have the army and Krishna will be available for Arjuna in the battlefield. So when Krishna handed over the army to Duryodhana, Kṛtavarma had to go with him as the commander, and he fought against Krishna and Arjuna in the battlefield with Duryodhana. He was on the side of Duryodhana. So and this Kṛtavarma, look at different people's destiny, how it takes in their life. When Panjali, Draupadi's children were killed in the barracks, after the Mahabharata war, if you remember, that Draupadi's all children were killed, and Kṛtavarma had a big hand in that, along with Ashwatthama. You may be very close to Krishna, but when your head will go in a different way, you can never say. That's what has happened. So, and the reason why he told Duryodhana that you can have my army is that Krishna never trusted Kṛtavarma. Therefore, he decided to hand over the army to him and go with Arjuna. Krishna never trusted Kṛtavarma, because from beginning, although he was the commander, there was envy in him, and therefore, Mahabharatam says about this incident as well.
And then, so we have got Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati. Then, who is Kalindi? Kalindi, as we said, seen before, that she is the daughter of sun god, isn't it? Aditya. And she was performing penances to get Krishna as her husband. So, in this, Aditya or sun god allotted this place for Kalindi to perform the penances on the river bank, in Yamuna river. And Shridhara Swami mentions there, Ayam ma kama yedityam shangaya maha nanyamidi Mahavishnu Gayatri Mandra Surupi Devyasya Savidurvarenyam. That Srimad Bhagavadam is nothing but Gayatri Surupam. You can see Gayatri Mantram comes in Bhagavadam at different places. For example, the word Dhimahi in the first verse, Janmadhya Sayada, ends with Dhimahi. Finally, Bhagavadam finishes also with Satyambaram Dhimahi. So, that Dhimahi, Sridhariyam, Sridhara Swami says there, that it is only to show to us that Tatsavidur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yona Prajodayad. It is reminded that Bhagavadam is a manifestation of Gayatri Mantra also. And this marriage was approved by sun god because sun god had a wife called Sapnya. And in that Sapnya, she had three children, Shraddha Deva, Yama and Yamuna. In the sixth canto it comes, that story. Yamuna flows through the mountain of Kalinda and therefore she got the name as Kalindi River. That is how she got the name Kalindi. Yamunamcha Nadim Chakre Kalinda Andaravahinim. Markandeya Puranam says this. So Kalindi, the name came to her because of Yamuna River flowing through these mountains. And this Kalindi's perform penances, austerities and penances, is spoken in the Garuda Puranam on the 21st chapter. That why did Kalindi perform these serious penances? She had felt that she could not perform enough salkarma, that means good pious activities. And therefore, it says, Navaispradam harinama amradam cha sadaspradam haridoshadigam cha edadrishaham kam gadimva mukunda yasena jani daya mamcha pahi. So, her way of performing penances was mentioned there. And it is her, out of these three, Shraddha Deva, Yama and Yamuna. Yama became Yamadharma Raja. Yamuna became Kalini River. And Shraddha Deva became Vaivasvata Manu. Manu. She became a Manu later. Vivaswan, which is called Manu, one of the Manus. So it is this Yamuna has become Kalindi, daughter. Daughter has become the Kalindi. Then, Mitravinda, another wife, her history is like this. Mitravinda was the daughter of King of Avanti and Krishna didn't agree that her brothers, Vindanivinda, they have objected on the marriage of Mitravinda to Krishna. So forcefully Krishna married her, isn't it? So just like Rukmini's marriage, this marriage was also very much like a Rakshasa kind of marriage. Mitravinda, in her previous life, her name was Agnishoma. And she wanted to marry Mahavishnu in that previous life.
And she realized that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and reading Srimad Bhagavatam would help. Tasmal sada bhagavadarthasaram shrunvandiye satatam vajayandi. Whole lifetime she spent in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mitravinda's way of thinking was like this. Adohyaham shravanam salkathaya sadakarishye natra vijaryamasti te napyaham harinamabhivancha nishchitya chittam shravanevai chakara adeham evam shravanam chakrutva tiktva deham bodhale samprajada nivastum vasudevasya bhaginya mudare khaka sumitra samyagayam cha jada vai mitravindiga shravanena harim mitram prapta samitravindiga adasa mitravindiri samyaya sambhavuvaha. And Mitravinda, in that previous line, her life was name was Agnishoma. That was her name. So this Mitravinda, and in this lifetime, she was called as Shaibya. Sridhara Swami mentions her name in this life is Shaibya. So she got the opportunity to marry Krishna because of her intense absorption in the Bhagavatam in the previous life. Then Krishna married the next wife called Satya. Who was Satya? Satya, in her previous life, she was called Havyavaha Putri, called Neela. A king called Havyavaha, it was his daughter called Neela. And she performed intense penances in Tirupati, Sheshajalam, in Venkatadri. And pleased with that, Srinivas gave her a commitment that when he comes as Krishna later, she will take the birth of Nagnajit. At that time, he will marry her. Rukminyadya ashan mahishyo mama shriv nila jaya mama bhairya kagendra sarge purvasminha vahas devahasya putri tastha abheje sadhyameva visheshad. So Kavyavaha's daughter Neela, and then she became as Satya, daughter of Nagnajit. Tado Nagnijido Rajyo Grihe Jada Kumariga Nagnijit Kavyavaho Bhut Kanya Kanya Neela Hoya Bhavat. This is Brahmanda Puranam says this. And then afterwards, who has got now? The last one is Bhadra. Bhadra, who is Bhadra? Bhadra was the daughter of Nala in previous life. Her name was Bhadra. She performed intense penances to please Mahavishnu. And in that situation, she gave up her body. And then she took as birth as Bhadra, as Kekaya, the daughter of Kekaya king. And she married Krishna. Krishna himself says this to Garuda about this. Then finally, Lakshmana. Lakshmana was, in her previous life, the daughter of Agnideva, and her name was Sulakshmana. And in her, the speciality was that all symptoms based on the Shastram was present in her. That means, Bhagavatam, it says, Lakshane Yudham. That's a word that is used in the, we can see in the verse 57, in the 58th chapter, Sudamcha Madradipadeya Lakshmanam Lakshaneir Yudam. Lakshmanai Lakshaneir Yudam. That means that she had all the symptoms of a great soul in her, and she decided to perform penances to have Mahavishnu as her husband. In the next life, she took the birth of the daughter of Madra, and Shri Krishna, Krishna defeated everybody else and married her. And that is how Lakshmana married Krishna. So every marriage were different in the sense that Bhadra's marriage was Brahmam, Lakshmana's marriage was Swayamvaram, and partly it is also Rakshasam because Krishna has defeated others in that way. So all the important eight queens of Dwaraka, they had their own history behind it. Then finally, we have got the 16,100 wives. How did they get married to Krishna? That was, the history is like this. That goes back to the history when when Bhumi Devi, who was Mahavishnu's wife, from Bhumi Devi, Krishna had a son called Narakasura, is it not? When Varahavataram, that goes back that far behind. In Varahavataram, when Lord Varaha had a contact with Bhumi Devi, and from that this personality, Narakasura, was born. Narakasura's misfortune was he got fallen into bad association. So what happened was that when Narakasura was killed, Bhumi Devi prayed to Krishna that you should give shelter to her son, which was Bhagadatta. And when Krishna entered into Narakasura's palace, way before that, Krishna has given to Narakasura, because it's his son, isn't it? But he's an asura. Narakasura was Krishna's son. But he's an asura. So what happened was, Bhumi Devi asked Krishna that he should give some protection to Narakasura. So Krishna gave Vaishnavastram to Narakasura, and this Narakasura gave this Vaishnavastram to his son Bhagadatta. In Mahabharata war, Bhagadatta fought in the war taking side of Duryodhana. You will see that in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning. In the first chapter itself, Bhagadatta's name mentioned on the side of Duryodhana. And he fired this Vaishnavastram towards Arjuna in the battlefield. And knowing very well the power of that Vaishnavastram, Krishna himself accepted that. Instead of allowing the Vaishnavastram to shoot towards Arjuna in the form of a garland, Vaijayanti Mala, it was received by Krishna himself. And that story is in the Mahabharata, this whole story. Krishna knew that Arjuna won't be able to handle that Vaishnavastram. Then this Bhagadatta had an elephant, which was very powerful elephant, and he created a lot of problems for the Pandavas in the Mahabharata war. And even though it is Narakasura was Krishna's son and Bhagadatta is his grandson, why did Bhagadatta become like this? How people can become demoniac? That nature is being spoken here, due to his bad association. So during the Rajasuyam sacrifice, Arjuna was sent to collect, what do they call the money from the different kings. So when he went to Pragjyotisham, that is where Narakasura was ruling, and there they fought. Pragjyotisha means it is somewhere around that area, Assam and others, the northeast part of India. So there the war fighting happened. For 8 days they fought each other, and Chinese people were helped Bhagadatta. It's mentioned in the verses. They helped Bhagadatta. Sa kiradeshcha chineshcha vrda pragjyotisho bhava tadasa divasanashto yodhaitva dhananjayam. So Narakasura was so powerful that through his strength he has defeated many, many kings and brought the 16,100 girls, and they were all maintained by him. They were all maintained in him. Sridhara Swami mentions there that Shadadiga Mityapityadavyam Yadaha Shri Parashara Kanyapuresa Kanyanam Shodashadula Vikrama Shadadigani Dadrishe Sahasrani Mahamate. So this is how that 16,100 girls came to Narakasura's custody. Narakasura's custody. And what was special about them? The Brahma Branam says this, that in both Brahma Branam and Agni Branam, that there they have spoken about who these girls are. Who these girls are. Many of them, they got this position as Krishna's wife due to the mercy or blessing from Ashtavakra Maharshi. Ashtavakra gave them this mercy. And Bhaumam tu narakam hatva tenani dascha kanyaga deva gandharva yakshanam ta uaha janardhana.
So all these girls, 16,100 girls, they did not get involved in material life at all. Instead, they lived a life of severe austerity, all of them, and controlled themselves very well, and always absorbed in the meditation on Krishna and chanting the holy name.
Nirvishandhyo yadha devya sukhinya kamavarjita parivaburu bahabaho ekaveni dharastriya sarva kashaya vasinya sarvascha netendriya.
They lived a life that they didn't tie their hair and they dressed themselves in saffron clothes, kashaya vasinyam, and they had sarvascha netendriya, total control on their senses.
Egaveni dhara, it says, egaveni dhara means that without decorating their hair.
So, it is these girls who by their spiritual activities they became Krishna's wives. So, like this, the different wives and their history behind the, before they became Krishna's wives. So, we were saying that last Saturday, when we talked about this, that Paundraga Vasudev got free, isn't it? He got liberated. And we talked about Dvida also. So what do we understand from all this? That you can see Narakasura became a demon. Krishna's son became a demon. Dvida became a demon, is it not? At least Dvida got Dvida got killed by Balaram, and Narakasura got killed by Krishna. So, but that is, these personalities are not examples for ordinary people. That we have to understand, because they are exceptional characters. Ajamila story we have seen that Ajamila also went through different sinful activities. There's nobody else who could do worse than that, and Ajamila has done, isn't it? So what it is telling us is that even if somebody shows a little inclination in spiritual life and take to spiritual life, that even if it is not 100%, there is some element of bhakti in the heart, Krishna will recognize it and reward it. And in some instances, you can see there, some cases, it is very difficult to have any devotion in the heart. And that is the next story. Next story is that in the Bhagavatam, what we have to understand. Krishna had a son called Samba, isn't it? Jambavadi's son. Who is Samba? Samba is Kartikeya. Kartikeya has come as Krishna's son, in Shiva's son Kartikeya. He has so many different names. Muruga, Shanmuga, Kartikeya, Guha, Skanda. This is all his name, Subramanyam. So many names he has got. His appearance is also very interesting, and it is spoken in two different ways, in two different Puranams, for different reasons also. So, Duryodhana's daughter, her name was Lakshmana. It is an interesting marriage in the Bhagavatam, this Samba's marriage. You will not find a marriage like this anywhere else. Duryodhana's daughter was Lakshmana. Lakshmana's marriage was decided. Lakshmana to be married. Now you can imagine, Duryodhana's daughter getting married means, it can't be an ordinary marriage, can it? It has to be it has to have its show. Duryodhana's daughter, isn't it? So, big marriage. Duryodhana has arranged everything. And it was a Swayamvaram, that means
She had the option to marry whom she wants to marry, and Swayamvaram, and therefore it was various kinds of marriages we spoke about, Brahmam, Gandharvam, Rakshasam, Paishajigam, and all that. We spoke about that before. So, normally you don't say Swayamvaram if parents decide the marriage and marry the girl to a husband, to a man, then it's not called Swayamvaram. Swayamvaram is Swayamvaram. That means on your own accord you marry somebody whom you like. You can marry him. So. But among the kings, all these princes will come for the marriage and they will all be sitting there, all showing their position and that VIP status. So, all those princes who want to get married, they'll come and sit in a circle, in a big circle there, and they will bring the girl who wants to marry, and somebody will accompany the girl. And he, because she may not know everybody, but he will introduce her to each and every prince who is present there and tell them, this is from this kingdom, he is a prince from this royal family, and this is the wonderful things he has done, or glorifying him. They will speak like this. And whomever the girl likes, she can put the garland on him. So she has got the freedom to decide whomever she wants to marry. So Sambha, when the invitation came to Dwaraka to come for the marriage, Sambha thought himself. He asked everybody, is anybody going from here for the marriage? He inquired. He is a very interesting person, this Sambha. Sambha acted very strange. He says, in his inside, he wanted to marry Lakshmana. He had this desire in him. You look at the verse 68. In the second verse, you will see 68, verse 2. Kaurava kupida ujur durvidoya marbhaga kadarthigrityana kanya agama maharad balad. Agama maharad balad. He says, akama maharad balad. He says that akama maharad balad. Lakshmana, Sambha wants to marry Lakshmana. Well, Lakshmana didn't want to marry Sambha. It was a different situation. Only Sambha wanted to marry Lakshmana. Well, Lakshmana really hasn't thought in that direction. So, when the invitation letter came, Sambha made an inquiry everywhere. Anybody is going for the marriage? Nobody is going, he said. The main reason for that was Krishna and Duryodhana having problems. Krishna just didn't like Duryodhana. And Duryodhana also didn't like Krishna. Outwardly they will talk friendly terms, but internally there is a ill feeling towards Duryodhana. So Sambha says to Krishna that why waste a feast? It will be a good feast, isn't it? I'll go for this marriage, he says to Krishna. Who? Sambha. Sambha says to Krishna, we shouldn't miss a good feast. That's how he puts it to him. So, so he went for the marriage, our Sambha, with a nice gift packet and everything, packed nicely, went there. And when he got there, all the kings are sitting there on the chairs, ready, all very impressive personalities sitting there. So Sambha also got there and sat in one chair. After all, he has got a right, he's also a prince, isn't it? But most of the Kauravas there, they noticed that. And they just didn't like it. They didn't consider Yadavas are qualified. They are not kings. They are not real Kshatriyas according to the aristocratic nature of the Kauravas. They looked down upon them. So when he came and sat there, they took it a little bit, but they didn't say anything. After all, let him sit there. Lakshmana is not going to marry him anyway. That's what they thought. But Lakshmana came in with the garland in the hand, and along with Lakshmana, there was a sakhi or servant maid, and also her brother with Lakshmana came together. And then they are introducing every prince to Lakshmana. This is his qualifications in this way. And if you like, Lakshmana can put the garland on him and marry her. If not, they'll move on to the next prince in this way. So they'll finish everybody. And then after that, the girl is given the option to marry whomever she likes. So they finished everybody and they got to Samba also. And there was no introduction or anything about Samba. Deliberately they did that, the Kauravas, who has come with Samba, there was no introduction. Only thing they said to her was, this is Krishna's son from Dwarka. That's all this introduction about Samba. So then the girl also, Lakshmana also, didn't think very much about him. Didn't also think very much about Samba. And so the Sakhi and the brother, they held Lakshmana's hand. He was moving on to the next prince. Samba thought like that. If it is like this, this marriage is not going to happen. Samba is very interesting. Samba thought that Samba has some good convictions in him. He thought, Kavita Vanita Chaiva, it says. Poetry won't come like that if you want to write a poetry. It has to come, some action has to happen inside. Vanita also, women also, it's not going to come like that. You have to take some initiative from your side. So if I just sit here thinking that one day, at the end, Lakshmana is going to come and marry me, it's not going to happen. What he did, he got up from the seat and went up to Lakshmana, and she was holding the garland. Samba held both her hands and put it on himself, the garland like that. This is how Samba got married. And as soon as he put that, so if you don't marry, then you may force her to marry you. That's what Samba did. And Samba says to her, let's go now to Dwarka. And held her hand to going towards the chariot. Samba's chariot was outside. As soon as this happened, Duryodhana, Dushasana, who are all there? Drona, Bhishma, Karna, all the bigwigs are there, heavyweights. They're all there. And he didn't care for anybody, our Samba. Samba doesn't care for anyone. As soon as this happened, Duryodhana and Dushasana got up, they all circled him, Samba. And Samba didn't care for anybody. Shuga Brahma, she mentions in the Bhagavatam that to Parikshit, he says, in front of a lion, these 500 foxes, what they can do? He was such a nature. This Samba's nature is like that. That so fighting spirit in him that they couldn't do anything. That's what he says there, that if there is 500 foxes in front of a lion, cub, a baby lion, what can they do? Even the 500 foxes. As soon as, if you hear the sound of that lion, the foxes will run away, isn't it? Nobody could go close to Samba. At that time, they realized that fighting with Samba is very hard. He was such a powerful, no doubt, why this Samba's birth and all that is a very interesting in the Puranam, in appearance of Subramani and all that. So demigods took him as the commander-in-chief, and Muchukunda retired from there and Samba took over as the commander there, isn't it? That's how Skanda became the commander there in the heavenly planets for fighting. Tarakasura was killed. It's a big story there. So when they realized that fighting with Samba on its own is very difficult based on principles. So as usual, Duryodhana's uncle Shakuni says to them that through your heroic nature you won't be able to beat him. But only thing we can do is to take my technique, which is cheating. Somehow or the other, cheat him. See, so Duryodhana says, uncle, if that's the way, we should go ahead with that. There's no other way. Without any consideration from backside, they shot an arrow and broke Samba's bow and arrow. They broke Samba's bow and arrow. So the weapon was gone. Samba didn't have any weapon anymore. So in front of all these Maharathis, like Bhishma, Drona and all that, Samba was alone there and no weapon also. So Samba stood there
with hands folded like this. He stood in front of them. Come on now, I'll take you on. I'm ready, he said. He stood like that in front of them. So at that time, if Samba wants to fight with them, he can fight. But the reason why Samba didn't fight after that was, a few marriages have happened before in Dwaraka like this, where there was fighting. Like when it happened with Aniruddha, you remember, with Aniruddha's marriage, Usha and Bana, and Shiva had to fight with Krishna and all that. At that time, Aniruddha got caught up in Banasura's prison, isn't it? So, for some time they didn't know where Aniruddha was jailed by Banasura. And Banasura thought that Aniruddha has nobody to help. He's like, it is easy to put him in the prison and nobody will ask anything about him. So Samba thought, let them not think about me that I am helpless. I've got also people behind me to question, to look after my interest. I got people behind me. Let them realize it, he thought. And let them come if they want to come to take care of me. And inquiring after me, let my father and Balaram, the two brothers, Balaram and Krishna, let them come and let them sort this out. He thought like that. And I want to show to these people that I have also got people and you will be answerable to them. Not that I'm not an orphan here. I got a family and I got people behind me. So therefore, what they did was, they caught hold of Samba and put him in a prison and locked him up there. So, when all these things were happening, Sri Narada Maharshi came to know about this. Immediately went to Dwaraka to inform there. Actually, Samba got married, but all the headache is for Narada Maharshi. Narada could not wait. He has to inform this to Krishna immediately, isn't it? So he goes to Dwaraka and informs Krishna. This is very dangerous. He said, what has happened there? This Duryodhana and the gang there, they are very wicked people, he said. At least with Banasura, Narada Maharshi says to Krishna, that in Banasura's prison you can say they will treat him nicely and you don't have to rush. But because Banasura is a good person, when he saw Aniruddha, he thought he's a nice person and he had that nature in him, Mahabali's son, grandson, isn't it? So, but this Duryodhana, his mentality is not very good. They are not very good people, he says. And they will do anything to kill Samba before we get there, so we should start straight away. Narada Maharshi informed this to Krishna. Immediately Krishna ordered all the army to get ready. And Krishna thought, I don't have to wait till the end of Mahabharata war to kill Duryodhana. Maybe I finish it up now, before that happens. And with that full preparations, with the intention to kill Duryodhana there and then, Krishna decided to leave. And that's why he organized the army, everything. So Balaram was there at that time, when this was happening. Balaram says to Krishna, no, don't go. Don't go. And don't try fight, because he is my disciple. He's a disciple, isn't it? Balaram's disciple is Krishna. Duryodhana. So he says to him, don't go there. He is my disciple. If I tell him, he will listen. Balaram, fully confident about his disciple. So, and again Balaram says, it's not proper for relatives to fight each other like this. Even if there is some difference of opinion, it can be spoken to each other and we can sort this out. So Balaram's nature is always, he's like a mediator in all problems. He likes mediation, you know. So, Krishna says, if it is like that, then I leave it up to you. It's up to you, how you want to sort this out.
So Krishna pulled back. He didn't go. Balaram called Uddhava and 4 or 5 Brahmanas also, told all of them to come with him. That's how normally Balaram goes. He calls Uddhava sometimes, and Uddhava was prime minister, very intelligent person, able to negotiate things properly. So he thought that I'll take some Brahmanas and Rishis with me, and he likes to go like that. So Balaram went with some Brahmanas, some Rishis and Uddhava with him. So he arrived in Hastinapur with all of them together. And when he arrived at the entrance gate, Balaram so told them that you all sit here. I will also wait here. And told Uddhava, Uddhava, go there inside and inform Duryodhana that I have come. His spiritual master had come, Balaram. Balaram had come. And tell him to come here. Tell him to come here. Just to give an advance information to Duryodhana. Uddhava goes inside and told Duryodhana that Balaram had come, and when some rishis have come with him, they are all waiting at the entrance, he said. Immediately Duryodhana comes from inside with Dushasana, Karna, all of them together, and they come and inquire very friendly way, paid their obeisances to Balaram and inquired from Balaram, is everything okay? And when Duryodhana inquired all these things, Balaram was very serious. He told him, there's nothing special, but I have not come here for my own reason. I didn't come here for my own personal reasons. I didn't come here. I am come here as the representative of King Ugrasena. Ugrasena's representative I am. That's how I have come here. So, Ugrasena has informed me to tell you a few things. What was that? When Duryodhana heard that, he didn't like it. Ugrasena telling us what to do, what not to do. That ego inside, as I said before, he wouldn't accept Ugrasena as an authorized Kshatriya king in that way. So, Ugrasena has given instructions like this. When Balaram said that, Duryodhana couldn't live with that kind of the wording, the way he spoke. It wasn't acceptable to him. Duryodhana didn't like it, that he has instructed like this. This is what Balaram said, and that he didn't like it. And as far as Duryodhana is concerned, only he is a person who can instruct others. That's his arrogance inside. First of all, Duryodhana considers himself as the emperor. And plus added to that, this uneasy relationship with the Yadavas. So what was the message Duryodhana said to Balaram? Balaram says to him, all of you together has ganged up and managed to tie Samba down and put him in the prison here, haven't you? He said to them. And the Ugrasena has told me to tell you that as an emperor, he is forgiving you for this, for what you have done. Because we are related to each other. Yadavas are related to Kauravas. So therefore, he has forgiven you for what you have done. But the instruction is like this, that he is forgiving you for the moment, but immediately you should hand over Samba and Lakshmana to us straight away. And I have to take them back and hand them over to Ugrasena. This is the instruction to me, Balaram says. This is the instruction from Ugrasena. Balaram said this to Duryodhana. And when Balaram said all these things, Duryodhana looked at Karna, the advisor. Karna. So initially they acted as though they have little bit respect for him. But that is in the beginning, when they first Balaram met with Duryodhana. But now all the respect has gone from inside. So Duryodhana's mood was, he may be my teacher, it doesn't matter, but I'm not going to tolerate all these things, being told what to do and what not to do. And because he is talking too much, I'm not even caring whether he is my teacher or not. This is a disciple's mood. So Duryodhana thought like this. He turns to Karna and says to Karna, Karna, have you heard what he said? He said,
Ugrasena, King Emperor Ugrasena, he says. Since when Ugrasena has become an emperor, he says. That Yadu, King Yadu, has a curse from Yayati. If you remember in the 9th canto that story. And that day, Yadu has been forbidden to have any throne. Remember that story in the 9th canto? That Yadu is not allowed to have any throne. Only Puru is allowed, and therefore Kauravas are allowed. Druhyu and Druhyu Puru, and Yadu and Turvasu. 5 children Devayani had. Devayani and Sharmishta. Devayani had Yadu and Turvasu, and Druhyu and Druhyu Puru from Sharmishta. So, remember in the 9th canto that story, initially it was decided that old age, Yayadi wanted to hand over, nobody accepted. Finally, Puru accepted. Therefore, all others lost their ability to become an emperor. They will never be a king or emperor. So, only Puru was given the emperorship. So, therefore, those who came in the Puru lineage, which is the Kauravas, they alone can claim the emperor position. So, nobody else, like Yadu, Turvasu, Druhyu, Anidruhyu, none of them are allowed to carry any emblem of a royal family. That was Yayati's decision at that time. Now, Duryodhana says that they are claiming now they are emperors. On what account? He was saying. Somehow or the other, due to a marriage, this relationship has happened between Kauravas and the Yadavas. That means Kunti Devi from Puru's lineage was married to Vasudev, and that is how these Yadavas have become our relatives. You can see how the family feud becomes serious, you know, among these Kshatriyas also. So, therefore, because they have married Kunti Devi from our family and was married to Pandu, not Vasudev, but to Pandu, and therefore she was married to Pandu, and therefore a marriage relationship has happened like this. So, and after that marriage, when they come to our palace, they sit on the chairs. Normally they should be sitting on the chair. That's only for the royal family members, isn't it? And Duryodhana and the Kauravas were not very pleased about all that. They don't have even qualification to sit on the chairs inside the palace, and they are not belonging to any royal family as such, Chakravarti or emperor position they don't have. But with this marriage and all, it has gone into their head so much, and they started thinking on an equal level with us, equal terms with us. And and when Ugrasena was become the chief in Dwaraka, we sent them a throne just for him to sit. Yes, we didn't send them an umbrella, because these are all the symptoms of the royal family members, isn't it? So, now he sits there on the throne and starts sending us back the instructions from Dwaraka, he says. So, and he says, look at the way time has changed, Duryodhana says to Karna. So, Duryodhana spoke the whole thing in a different way. He says to Karna, where do you put the shoes? You don't put it on the head, do you? You put it on the shoes, on the feet, isn't it? So, nobody put it on the head, the shoes. Similarly, when he said that, Karna understood what he was saying. Practically, what he was saying was, Yadavas, they're like the shoes. They're like the shoes. We don't put them on the head. We put them, we like the shoes, we treat them. We treat them like the shoes. So Karna didn't answer that when Duryodhana is talking all these things in front of Balaram and Uddhava to Karna. So, without answering anything, what Balaram has spoken to them, these two got up. And Dushasana also. Duryodhana, Dushasana and Karna, they all got up from there and went back to the palace without saying one word to Balaram and Uddhava. Without saying one word to Balaram and Uddhava, they went back to the palace. So, after this, this whole conversation went inside a bit to Balram's head. Balram didn't like it. So he had a little bit of irony also inside. So you can imagine how Balram can change. When this whole thing happened, what Balram did? Balram turned to Uddhava and says to Uddhava, Uddhava, when the cow bull comes to hit you, there is no point sitting there and chanting Namashivaya, he says. Chanting the Panjasharam it's called. Chanting Panjasharam is no good. He said, you have to act. Is it not best thing to do? That I have to act now, is it not? He says to Uddhava. Uddhava also thought, let them learn a lesson, what it means, isn't it? So Uddhava says to him that personalities like you, there is no necessity to chant, act. That's the right thing to do. So you will see that in the 68th chapter, Uddhava's words Uddhava's words to Balaram. What did he say to him? He says that
Namaste Sarva Bhudalpan Sarva Shakti Dharavyaya Vishwakarman Namaste Stu Tvam Vayam Sharanam Gadaha. Namaste Sarva Bhudalpan Sarva Shakti Dharavyaya Vishwakarman Namaste Stu Tvam Vayam Sharanam Gadaha.
And then if you look into the verse 40,
Adya Nishkauravim Prithvim Karishyami Tyamarshida Grihitva Halamuttastav Dehanniva Jagatrayam. Dehanniva Jagatrayam.
He says, Grihitva Halamuttastav Dehanniva Jagatrayam. And in the next verse, what did Balaram?
Langalagrena Nagaram Uddhidarya Gajahvayam Vijagarshasa Gangayam Praharishya Namarshidaha Praharishya Amarshidaha Jalayanam Ivakurnam Gangayam Nagaram Patad Agrishyamana Malokya Kaurava Jada Sambramaha.
That Balaram got up from there and took his plow, halam, and also the musalam. That is Balram's weapon. When Balram got up with these two weapons, Uddhava got frightened. And is he going to finish the whole thing, creation itself? Dehanniva Jagatrayam, he says there. Dehanniva Jagatrayam. All the three worlds are going to finish, he thought. So, Uddhava says to him, what's the plan? Says to Balaram. Balaram says, I'm not going to finish the whole creation, but these Kauravas, I'll finish them now, he said. We don't need this kind of people here. And there were the loads of them, all starting with the letter du, 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 du. Duryodhana, Dushasana, Dushala, all du. A list of them, du. So he thought that I'll finish them now. And with the plough, he put it underneath the whole town of Hastinapur. And he is sitting at the entrance gate to the palace, isn't it? And from bottom of the palace, he put this plough and pushed it hard inside. And then when he felt that it has gone like very much underneath, like when you make certain preparations, how you use the spoon to turn upside down. Similarly, Balaram put the plow from underneath to turn the whole thing down. He did like that. So, this palace has been built after spending a lot of money. Duryodhana had spent hell of a lot of money because of the envy towards the Pandavas. And he decided to finish up this. Balaram says that let them try if they can take it out of the water, because it's on the river bank of the Yamuna river. And put this in underneath that, Why then Uddhava went and caught him, Balaram, told Balaram, Balaram, don't turn it around, he said. And Mahabharata Yuddham, Mahabharata war hasn't happened yet. So, if had Balaram done that, Mahabharata war may not have been necessary also. Uddhava asked Balaram, what is the plan? He says to him. So, after all, Duryodhana is your disciple, isn't it? Uddhava says to Balaram. So, if the disciple may die without, is it that because you don't want him to die without even getting a drop of water? That's why you are pulling him into the water, altogether to Yamuna river. So, he says to him, Uddhava says to Balaram, you made a mistake, he says to Balaram. So, Balaram says to Uddhava, Uddhava, what have I done wrong? Are you also on their side? He says, Balaram says to Uddhava, no. Uddhava says to Balaram, you have not thought about it enough. Our boy is also there with them. If you turn the whole thing upside down to Ganga, Balaram, Yamuna river, he will also die, wouldn't he? Only then Balaram thought about that. Balaram didn't think about that. Sambhava was also there with them. So Balaram's plan was to turn the whole Hastinapur into Yamuna river and smash it with the musalam. With the halam, lift it and push it into the Yamuna river and smash it with the musalam. That was the plan. So if you execute that plan, our boy is also there with them. He will also die, won't he? Only then Balaram thought, yeah, that's true. It came to his senses at that time. So what Balaram did was that, Balaram says to Uddhava, oh, that's very good. You reminded me that. I would have made a mistake, he said. Doesn't matter. They'll come now. And he shook the plow from the bottom of Hastinapur. So one or two times when he shook that, Duryodhana was sitting on his throne. Karna was sitting there. All the thrones were shaking from inside. Duryodhana says to Karna, Karna, what do we do now? There's something going wrong here, he said. So Karna says, what? What does it matter? He may be your teacher and all that. I don't think you have to take him very seriously now. Even though he's your teacher, if he is not acting according to our rule, our orders, then what's the point in keeping him as a teacher? So, and what you did is the right thing. Karna is encouraging Duryodhana for the way he replied him, isn't it? So, when Karna is saying all these things, the whole palace is shaking. All the gatemen and the watchmen, or all the security people, they all came saying that the whole thing is shaking very well, isn't it? And it's going to fall into the river any time, they said. At that time, there were some intelligent people there, who Bhishma and Drona. Bhishma and Drona knew what has happened. They came. And Bhishma comes and tells Duryodhana, Duryodhana, go straight away and fall at his feet, Balaram's feet, and ask for forgiveness. Apologize to him and ask for forgiveness. And and Balaram's nature is that if you ask for forgiveness, he will forgive you and he will not get angry with you. Otherwise, you will be in trouble. Balaram can get angry very quickly, and also very easily he gets freed from the anger. And that is Balaram's nature. Go straight away, he says to Duryodhana. Who said? Bhishma. Bhishma says to Duryodhana, there is no time to discuss and think about this, he said. So Duryodhana says to Bhishma, what shall I say to him when I go there? This was Balaram's question to I have not learned anything like that, to apologize to anybody. Says Balaram. Duryodhana says to Bhishma, I have not learned to speak like that to anybody. So Bhishma says to Duryodhana, recite some words and glorify him. Some words. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Even that verse Duryodhana has not learned. Not one verse he knows how to glorify Krishna or Balaram. So, only words he knows is how to abuse others. And he has got all the verses for that.
no good words, as he has learned anything to glorify anybody. So, and Duryodhana was not going. He was standing there asking all these questions. That time Bhishma says to him, I'll go, you follow me at least, if you can't go. Because his ego is not allowing him to go. And he's still thinking that I am the king. So Bhishma says to him, you just follow me, I will go. Like in big sacrifices, the person who is performing the sacrifices, he will do all the karmam, kari karmam. But all his assistants, they will stay behind, touching the shoulder. That is enough. You will see the photograph in the different places. From the back, if you touch at the back, that's enough. That means they are also with him. So similarly, Duryodhana goes behind Bhishma. And Bhishma goes there. Bhishma got there. And Bhishma, Drona, they were all in the front. And when they got there, they fell down and paid their obeisances. You will see the verse 44. Rama, Bhishma's words.
Rama, Rama, Akhiladhara, Prabhavam Navidamate, Mudhanam Nakubuddhinam, Chandum Arhasyadikramam. Rama, Rama, Akhiladhara, Prabhavam Navidamate, Mudhanam Nakubuddhinam, Chandum Arhasyadikramam. Stitilpatapyayanam tom ego hedur nirashraya, Logan kridanaga anisha, kridadaste vadandihi.
Then all those verses are glorifying Lord Balaram. And he said this, and he says to, Bhishma says to Balaram, Rama Rama Akhiladhara, that these children, they don't know your glories. On behalf of Duryodhana, Dushasana and all those people, Bhishma is apologizing to Balaram. And please forgive them for the offense they have committed. And then says to Rama, Balaram, Rama, don't get angry like this, that to children, making them as a grandfather-grandchildren affair, like that. Bhishma says to Balaram, Balaram, you are such a great person. These are just kids. Why you get so upset with them? And Balaram says to them that, I have not come here to give you trouble. I have not come here to give you trouble. If Krishna had come, because originally the plan was Krishna to come, had Krishna come here, he would have finished your ball and gone back. But I have not come to do that. And I stopped Krishna from coming here. Instead, I came on my own. So that such a thing don't happen. And what did you tell me? Balaram says, that shoes, you don't wear them on the head, isn't it? This was the words you have used. As far as you are concerned, Krishna and me, we are all looks like two shoes. That's how you are treating me, aren't you? He says to them. And the head is Duryodhana. That's how you are thinking about it, isn't it? And we will not tolerate these kind of words, he said. Balaram said like this. Bhishma says that, yes, that is true. You shouldn't have spoken like that. And a personality like yourself should not be tolerating such a thing. And all I can say, Bhishma, because of his age and that knowledge inside, being a devotee also, Bhishma had the good sense to see the situation very well and apologize on behalf of Duryodhana and to save Karna and others. Bhishma apologized very profusely. He apologized to them and says to them that, all I can say now is to forgive us. So, because of Bhishma's words, Balaram got a little bit pacified. Balaram got pacified. Duryodhana says to him, I have spoken to you straightforward, and you were not willing to listen to me. And he said, Bhishma also turned to Duryodhana and told him, Duryodhana, don't try to argue, don't try to instruct Balaram, who don't know who they are. Said, go, what you can do now, go inside, bring Samba and Lakshmana together here and hand them over to Balaram. That's all you can do now, isn't it? And bring them well, very well decorated and in a proper way, like a bride and a bridegroom. So then Duryodhana learned the lesson. He goes inside and then brought them back, Samba and Lakshmana, and
Balram took them all and went back to the palace in Dwaraka. Went back to the palace in Dwaraka. What is all this teaching us? That's important, isn't it? That remember we mentioned this last Sunday. In Krishnavataram, Krishna's appearance, Krishna has given liberation to so many people. Did he not? Putana got liberated. And so many others, so many different demons, Shakadasura and Trinavarta, many, many demons, they all were given liberation freely. Krishna has given liberation freely. Which you can never imagine that they were all given free liberation, isn't it? But Duryodhana's misfortune, just see, that Duryodhana, Krishna felt, I can't change him and give him liberation. He won't change. So obstinate he was. So unable to change Duryodhana's nature. To change that mentality was very, very difficult. And what they're saying there is that Hastinapur, you can pull it down with Balram's plow. But this ego of Duryodhana, you can't even destroy that with Balram's plow. That's how thick the whole thing is inside. The Ahankaram inside is so strong with Balram, with Duryodhana, that even Balram's plow cannot destroy that Ahankaram inside. So similarly, we also have to look at it this way. Our Ahankaram is in the same way, isn't it? Even Balram's plow cannot kill our ego inside. So we ourselves have to be careful not to develop that nature like in the Duryodhana's nature. Therefore, chanting the holy name, hearing about Krishna, Bhagavatam, and somehow the other, constantly hearing and chanting, we have to make that ego to dissolve itself inside. Otherwise, there is no possibility of changing that nature. It is no point in blaming Krishna for that. If we keep saying, why Krishna is not giving me, blessing me? But it's no point in complaining like that, because we ourselves have to put some effort to purify ourselves through Bhagavatam and the holy name. So if we put that effort, Krishna in course of time will purify us. Therefore, to cultivate bhakti. Bhakti is for that purpose, isn't it? There is nothing higher than bhakti. And that sincere bhakti for Krishna, that has to be cultivated. And that bhakti has to be not based on material desires. It has to be purely with the sole intention of pleasing Krishna. All these things are taught through these different episodes in the Krishna's life in Dwaraka. Various instances, Shukha Brahmarshi will keep repeating these things. And that is why it is so important. So, that is why here you will see that when Kauravas acted like this, here few things that when Kaurava acted like this, Balram remembered Krishna. This Samba, if you look back to his history, that Samba was a very powerful fighter. Duryodhana's wife, we don't know who she is exactly, not mentioned. Even in Mahabharatam, it may have mentioned somewhere, but it's very difficult to find the name mentioned. But generally it is assumed that her name is Bhanumati. Duryodhana's wife's name was Bhanumati. And this Bhanumati, there's a history behind all these things. Bhanumati had her marriage is spoken in the Skanda Puranam. Skanda Puranam is talking about that. That it is very difficult to know that this Bhanumati, Balaram had a daughter by name Bhanumati. And this Lakshmana, who Sambam now forcefully married, whether this Lakshmana is this Bhanumati's daughter or a daughter from another wife of Duryodhana, that's been very difficult to find that. It's not clearly mentioned anywhere about that. So Skanda Puranam says like this, Asid Bhanumati Nama Balabhadra Sudhapura Sarva Lakshana Sambanna Ruba Audarya Gunanida Tam Dadhavada Patnyate Dartharashtraya Dhimade Duryodhanaya Sammandra Vishnuna Sahayadava. Lakshmana, more or less from the based on the Skanda Puranam statement, you can take it that this Lakshmana is Bhanumati's daughter. Bhanumati's daughter. That's all we know about the background of this Lakshmana. So, they got upset with the Samba and there was a big fight. Balaram and the Uddhava and the Brahmanas who had gone with him, they all came back to Dwaraka with the Lakshmana and Samba. That is where that episode finishes. Then what happened in Dwaraka? That's the next chapter. Let's read that. 69. Chapter 69.
एकोनसप्ततमोऽध्यायः ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीशुक उवाच नरकं निहतं श्रुत्वा ततोद्वाहं च योषितां कृष्णेनैकेन बह्वीनां तद्दिदृक्षुस्थ नारद चित्रं वदैतकैकेन वपुषा युगवल्पृथ गृहेषु द्वष्टसाहस्रं स्त्रियमेकमुदावहद् इत्युत्सगो द्वारवतीं देवर्षिर्द्रष्टुमागमत् पुष्पितोपवनारामं द्विजालिकुलनादिदम् ഉത്ഫുല്ലേന്ദീവരാംഭോജം കൽഹാരകമുദോൽഫലേ ചുരിദേഷു സരസുചൈ കൂചിതാം ഹംസസാരസൈ പ്രാസാദലക്ഷേർണർവനവഭിജുഷ്ടാം സ്ഫടികരാജതൈ മഹാമരകഥപ്രഖ്യൈ സ്വർണരത്നപരിച്ഛതൈ വിഭക്തരത്യാപചത്വരാവണി ശാലാസഭാവീരുചിരാം സുരാലയൈ സംസിക്തമാർഗാം ഗണവീതിദേഹളീം പതൽപതാകാധ്വജവാരിതാതപാം തസ്യാം അന്തഃപുരം ശ്രീമന് അർച്ചിതം സർവദിഷ്ണ്യവൈ ഹരേ സുകശലം കൗശലം യത്ര ത്വാഷ്ടാകാർസ്നേഹദർശിതം തത്ര ഷോഡശഭിസദ്മം സഹസ്രൈ സമലംകൃതം വിവശൈകതമം ശൗര്യേ പത്നീനാം ഭവനം മഹദ് വിശുദ്ധം വിദ്രുമസ്തംഭേർ വൈഡൂര്യഫലകോത്തമൈ ഇന്ദ്രനീലമയൈ കുഡ്യർ ജഗത്യാചാഹതത്യുഷാ പിതാ വിതാ നേർനിമിതൈ സ്തുഷ്ട്വാ മുക്താദാമ വിളംബിബി ദാന്തൈരാസനപര്യങ്കേർ ആസനപര്യങ്കേർ മുനിയുത്തമപരിഷ്കൃതൈ ദാസീർ നിഷ്കകണ്ഠീഭി സുവാസോഭിരലംകൃതം പുംബീ സകഞ്ചുഗോഷ്ഠേഷം സുവസ്ത്രമണികുണ്ടലൈ രത്നപ്രദീപനികര്യദ്യുതിപ്രനിരസ്തം ധ്വാന്തം വിചിത്രവളഭീഷുശിഖണ്ഡിനോങ്കം നത്യന്തയത്ര വിഹിതാകരു ധൂമപക്ഷൈ നിര്യാന്തമീക്ഷകനബുദ്ധയ ഉന്നദന്ത തസ്മിൻ സമാനഗുണരൂപവയസ്സുവേഷം ദാസീസഹസ്രയുതയാനുസവം ഗൃഹിണ്യാം വിപ്രോദർശനമരവ്യജനരുക്മം ദണ്ഡേന സാത്വതപതിം പരിവീജയന്ത്യ തം സന്നിരീക്ഷ ഭഗവാൻ സഹസോത്തിതശ്രീ പര്യങ്കത സകലധർമ്മപ്രദാം വരിഷ്ഠ ആ നമ്യപാദയുഗളം ശിരസാ കിരീടം ജുഷ്ടേന സാഞ്ജരവീ വിശദാസനേ സ്വേ തസ്യാവനിജ്യചരണോ തദപസ്വമൂർധനാം ബിബ്രജഗദ്ഗുരുതരോപി സദാം പതിർഹി ബ്രഹ്മണ്യദേവമിതിയദ്ഗുണനാമയുക്തം തസ്യവയ ചരണശോചമശേഷതീർത്ഥം സംപൂജ്യദേവ ഋഷിവര്യമഷിപുരാണോ നാരായണോ നരസകോ വിധിനോദിതേന വാണ്യാഭിഭാഷമിതയാമൃതമിഷ്ടയാതം പ്രാഹ പ്രഭോ ഭഗവതേ കരവാമഹേ കിം ശ്രീനാരദ ഉവാച നൈവാത്ഭുതം ദ്വൈവിഭോഗിലോകനാഥേ മൈത്രീജനേഷു സകലേഷു ദമഖലാനാം നിശ്രേയസായ ഹി ജഗത്സ്ഥിതിരക്ഷണാഭ്യാം സ്വൈരാവതാരമുതക ഉരുഗായ വിദാമസുഷ്ടു ദൃഷ്ടം തവാംഗ്രിയുഗളം ജനതാപവർഗം ബ്രഹ്മാദിബഹൃതി വിചിന്യമഘാതബോധൈ സംസാരകൂപപതിതോത്തരണാവലംബം ജായം ശരാമനുഗൃഹാണ യഥാ സ്മൃതിസ്യാൽ തദോന്യതാ വിശൽഗേഹം കൃഷ്ണപത്യാസ നാരദ യോഗേശ്വരേശ്വരസ്യാംഗ യോഗമായാ വിവിൽസയ ദിവ്യം നമക്ഷേസ്തത്രാഭി പ്രിയയാ ചോദ്ധവേന ച പൂജിതപരയാ ഭക്ത്യാ പ്രത്യുത്ഥാനാസനാദിഭി പൃഷ്ടശ്ചാവിദുഷോ വ്യസോ കഥായാദോ ഭവാനിരി ക്രിയതേക്കും പൂർണാന അപൂർണൈരസ്മദാദിഭി അഥാ ബിബ്രൂഹിനോ ബ്രഹ്മൻ ജന്മൈതോഭനം ഗുരു സദവിസ്മിതമുത്ഥായ തുഷ്ണീമന്യമഹാദ് അഗാദ് ഗൃഹം തത്രോപ്യേഷ്ടഗോവിന്ദം ലാളയന്നം സുതാൻ ശിശുൻ തതോന്യസ്മിൻ ഗൃഹേ പശ്യൻ മജ്ജനായ കൃതോദ്യമം ജുഹ്വന്തം ച വിദാനാഗ്നിൻ യജന്തം മജബിർമഖൈ ഭോജയന്തം ദ്വിജൻ ക്വാവി മുഞ്ചാനാമാശേഷിതം ക്വാവി സന്ധ്യാമുപാസീനം ജപന്തം ബ്രഹ്മവാഗ്യതം ഏകത്രജാസി ചർമാഭ്യാം ചരന്തമസി വർമ്മസു അശ്വർഗജൈരഥേ ക്വാവി വിചരന്തം ഗതാഗ്രജം ക്വചിച്ഛയാനം പര്യങ്കേ സ്തൂയമാനം ച വന്ദിഭി മന്ത്രയന്തം ജഗസ്മിശ്ചിൻ മന്ത്രിവിശോദ്ധവാദിഭി ജലക്രീഡാരതം ക്വാവി വാരമുഖ്യാബലാവൃതം അബലാവൃതം കത്രചിദ് ദ്വിജമുഖേഭ്യോ ദദം ഗാസ്വലംകൃത ഇതിഹാസപുരാണാനി ശൃണ്വന്തം മംഗളാനി ച അസന്തം ഹാസ്യകഥയ കഥാചിൽ പ്രിയയാഗ്രഹേ ക്വാവി ധർമ്മം സേവമാനം അർത്ഥകാമോച കുത്രചിത് ധ്യായന്തമേകമാസീനം പുരുഷം പ്രകൃതേ പരം ശുശ്രൂഷന്തം ഗുരുൻ ക്വാവി കാമേർഭോഗേർ സപര്യയ കുർവന്തം വിഗ്രഹം കൈശ്ചിൽ സന്ധ്യം ചാന്യത്ര കേശവം കുത്രാഭി സഹരാമേണ ചിന്തയന്തം സദാം ശിവം പുത്രാണാം ധുരണാം ദുഹൃദണാം ച കാലേ വിദ്യുപയാപനം ദാരേർവര്യ സൽസദൃശൈ കൽപ്പയന്തം വിഭൂതിഭി പ്രസ്താപനോപാനയനെ അപത്യാനാം മഹോത്സവാൻ വീക്ഷയോഗേശ്വരേശസ്യ യേഷാം ലോകാ വിസിസ്മിരേ യജന്തം സകലാന്തേവാൻ ക്വാഭീകൃതിരൂർജിതൈ പൂർത്തയന്തം ക്വചിദ്ധർമ്മം കൂപാരാമഠാദിഭി ചരന്തം മൃഗയാം ക്വാഭി ഹയമാരുഹ്യ സൈന്ധവം ഗ്രന്ഥം തദപ്പശുന്മേധ്യാൻ പരീരം യതുപുങ്കവി അവ്യക്തലിംഗം പ്രകൃതി ഷന്തപ്പുരഗൃഹാദിഷു ക്വചിച്ചരന്തം യോഗേശം തത്തദ്ഭാവഭുൽസയാം അധോവാച കൃഷീകേശം നാരദ പ്രഹസന്നിവ യോഗമായോദയം വീക്ഷ്യ മാനുഷീമീഷോഗതിം വിദാമയോഗമായാസ്തേ ദുർദശാമഭിമായിനാം യോഗേശ്വരാത്മനിർബാധ ഭവൽപാദ നിഷേവയ അനുജാനീഹി മാം മുദയവ ലോകാംശേഷ സാപ്ലുതാൻ പര്യടാമിതബോദ്ഗായൻ നീലാംഭുവന ഭാവനീം ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച ബ്രഹ്മൻ ധർമ്മസ്യ വക്താഹം കർത്താതനുമോദിത തച്ചിക്ഷയം ലോകമിമം ആസിതാ പുത്രമാഖിത ശ്രീശുക ഉവാച ഇത്യാചരന്തം സദ്ധർമാൻ പാവനാൻ ഗ്രഹമേദിനാം തമേവ സർവാഗേഹേഷു സന്തമേകം ദദർശഃ കൃഷ്ണസ്യ അനന്തവീര്യസ്യ യോഗമായാമഹോദയം മുഹുർദൃഷ്ട്വാ കൃഷിരഭൂത് വിസ്മിതോ ജാതകൗതുക ഇത്യർത്ഥകാമധർമ്മേഷു കൃഷ്ണേന ശ്രദ്ധിതാത്മന സമ്യക് സഭാജിതപ്രീതസ്തേവമേവാനുസ്മരൻ സ്തമേവാനുസ്മരൻ യയൗ ഏവം മനുഷ്യപദവീമനുവർത്തമാനോ നാരായണോഖില ഭവായ ഗ്രഹീതശക്തി രേമേങ്ക ഷോഡശ സഹസ്രവരാങ്കനാം സവ്രീഡ സൗഹൃദ നിരീക്ഷണ സജുഷ്ട യാനീഹ വിശ്വവിലയോത്ഭവവൃത്തിഹേതു കർമാണ്യനന്യവിഷയാണി ഹരിഷ്ടകാര യസ്വംഗകായതി ശൃണോത്യനുമോദദേവ ഭക്തിർഭവേ ഭഗവതി അപവർഗമാർഗേ ഇതി ശ്രീമത്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമംസ്യം സംവിധായം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ കൃഷ്ണഗാർഹസ്യ ദർശനം നാമ ഏകോനസപ്തതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
So, after this incident with Samba and Lakshmana, so far we have seen that what have we seen? Krishna's marriage, and then many marriages after that, and the children who were born from that marriage, and the marriages of those children. This is what this whole, after Mujgunda's departure, what we find in the Bhagavatam. Is it not? Krishna's marriage, then many other marriages after that, then the children born from that, their marriages, all these things is showing to us Krishna's householder life. For householder life, this is what he is showing here, isn't it? And all these stories are related to Krishna's householder life. Krishna's householder life. And in the middle of all that, some amazing things happened, like the thing what happened to Hastinapur, like Balaram pulling it down with the plow, and Balaram pulling the Yamuna river with the plow, all those things. Those things also, by incidentally, it came in the middle of all that, isn't it? But basically, the purpose of all these things is to show to us Krishna's householder life. Krishna's householder life. It's very interesting, a lot of things spoken in that also. And naturally, when all these things happened, this news arrived everywhere about Krishna's householder life, what was going on in the Dwaraka. And not only these marriages, and so many children from each marriage, 10 boys from each marriage and a girl. So imagine 16,108 wives and 10 boys from each of those marriages and a girl. So from how many children they had, and their children, grandchildren, all together. So Naturally, this is a interesting family life, isn't it? The news is spread everywhere, all over the world. So people started asking Narada Maharshi some questions. They started asking Narada Maharshi that, is it all true that he has got 16,108 wives? Krishna has. Narada says, I have not counted them. How many are there? He said, I have not counted them. But when I go to Dwaraka, I see all these. So many wives Krishna has, so many palaces he has built there. And important thing is not counting them, how many are there, isn't it? That's not the important thing. But important thing is to find out, people said to Narada, it's not that important to count how many are there. How does he manage this married life? It's an important question, isn't it? You can see, look at our own life. Look at our own life. With one wife, you're 24 hours busy. No time for anything else, isn't it? With one wife. So, people ask this question to Narada Muni, that 16,108 wives, how did he manage? How is he able to manage the whole married life? What kind of married life is that, isn't it? And we are unable to believe that, they said to Narada Maharshi, that there is a proper married life Krishna has with them. All sorts of things people talk about it. People are, naturally they have their nature, isn't it? So, one thing they are questioning like this, it is interesting, people are very clever, the kind of questions they put forward. They are saying that Krishna is one person. 16,108 wives means, to visit each wife, it will take 16,108 days for Krishna to come back to the wife second time. If you are visiting every day one wife. People calculate all these things. So they were saying, if Krishna is visiting one wife one day, then that means how many years it will take to come back again to the same wife? Divided by 365 days, so you can see so many number of years. Is it not? Which will quite a lot of time. But by then we also hear Krishna had 10 sons from each of them. How is that possible? Unless Krishna had a contact with the wife, how can there be children? So all these questions working out people's mind, and they were asking all these questions, the only person they could ask was Narada Maharshi, who is welcome everywhere. So they asked Narada Maharshi this question, how does it work, how does it doesn't add up, as we say. It doesn't add up that 16,108 wives and 10 children from every one of them, it does not work out properly. How can that happen? Is Krishna present in everybody's house? How often does he visit each wife? So, will they get an opportunity to see him anytime? 16,108. So, say for example, on Monday he visits Rukmini. Then Tuesday Satyabhama. Wednesday Jambavati. In that way, if you keep on taking, second time for Rukmini to see Krishna, she has to wait 16,108 days, isn't it? So, let's imagine that is okay. But that's not okay. Why? Everybody has got 10 sons each from Krishna. Krishna had 10 sons from each one of them, isn't it? So that calculation won't add up. It won't add up. Narada Maharshi says to them, oh, I didn't think like that. He's a Maharshi, isn't it? He couldn't think in this. This is householders will think like this. You can see the difference. Householders will look at it this way. He got married. So a couple of years are gone. There are no children yet. So this is a householder way of thinking. Narada Maharshi is thinking in a different way. Narada Maharshi says, there must be some trick behind it. Only now I thought about it. When the householders mentioned this to him, he thought about it. So that day Narada Maharshi thought, seriously, that there is something, some trick behind this, he said. So, if people ask this question, I have to answer them properly, is it not? That is the way Narada Maharshi's mind worked. So, he decided to go and test himself. Narada Maharshi himself decided to go there. So, one morning, Narada Maharshi, after finish bathing everything, he took his veena in the hand and performing all his morning duties, everything, Narada walked into Rukmini's palace. The chapter itself is called Krishna Garhastya Darshanam, Krishna's householder life, seen by Narada Maharshi. That's the title of that chapter, Krishna Garhastya Darshanam. When he got there, you can imagine that he has walked in without any prior appointment or anything, just walked in there, say about 8:30 in the morning. And Krishna has certain way of performing his morning duties. He is very strict with that. Krishna gets up very early, way before sun rises. 7:30 nariga, it says there. That means about 3 hours before sunrise, Krishna gets up in the morning. And he had plenty of things to do. We will come to that later, what he does. And by the time Krishna finishes everything, the morning duties, it's about 8:00 in the morning. And then afterwards he has the light breakfast and then dressing up before going into the assembly. And he also, Krishna is particular about inquiring the welfare of all the servants in the palace. He will make sure, he will talk to all the servants who are working in the palace. And by the time everything is finished, about 8:30 it will be. And 9:00, Uddhava comes to see Krishna. And together, Krishna and Uddhava will go to the, it's the Prime Minister. Krishna and Uddhava will go to the assembly. So, Rukmini is managing the householder life. Rukmini by now engages all the palace servants in their different duties. And they are separate men and women. And everything, Rukmini was responsible for all of that. And Krishna now and then will inquire from them if everything working out okay, they are happy with the services. And so Krishna was particular in looking after everybody in the palace. While Krishna was talking to Rukmini about the householder affairs, that is when Narada Maharshi walked in at that time. And when they were talking to each other, Krishna and Rukmini were talking, at that time Narada Maharshi comes in. And when Rukmini, as soon as she saw Narada Maharshi, got up. Rishi, isn't it? Sage, he has come in. He got up straight away and went up to the sage, to Rishi, and paid obeisances to Narada Maharshi. Krishna also got up straight away, went up to Narada Maharshi, paid obeisances to him. And then Krishna says to Rukmini, bring water, let's wash his feet. And ask Narada Maharshi to sit on the throne, wash Narada Maharshi's feet. And after washing the feet, they took the water, the charanamadam, and put it on their head, sprinkled everything. And then both of them paid their obeisances to Narada Maharshi. Krishna and Rukmini paid their obeisances. And then Krishna says to Narada Maharshi that, Maharshi, that people like us who are in this householder life, we don't know what we are living here for. Our enjoyment nature is very strong in us. And only when sannyasis like you come and visit us, you remind us about our spiritual responsibility. Nobody tells us otherwise. We get absorbed in the householder life, managing the home, managing the family. We get totally occupied with that. So, for the grihasthas, it's only people like you are a shelter for us. And this is the only creeper on which we can hold on to. And not only he says, Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, look at my prarabdham. I am not an ordinary householder, am I? He said, look at my prarabdham, he says. So please bless me that I get through this householder life without getting too much into trouble. Krishna is begging to Narada Muni to bless him. Look at my prarabdham, he says. I got unnecessarily involved in so many marriages.
and 16,108 wives. Imagine Krishna's prarabdham. So, the way Krishna spoke to Narada Maharshi, even Narada Maharshi felt Krishna's prarabdham. Even Narada Maharshi felt, oh, what a prarabdham Krishna has got to look after. Great prarabdham, Mahaprarabdham, he says to him. So many marriages and prarabdhamayam. Narada Maharshi thought like that. So, after that, Narada Maharshi blessed them. Everything will come out okay. Krishna arranged for prasadam for Narada Maharshi to eat. And he says to Narada Maharshi, it's not that once in a way you come like this. Come very often, he said. Regularly you should visit us and remind us about it, about spiritual purpose in life. And otherwise we will go out of line. We will not, householder means that, isn't it? Lose the spiritual life and we'll be busy with so many other nonsense in this world. So that thing, Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, if you don't come and remind us, we will forget it. We'll fall into that trap. So Narada Maharshi, after had a good feast, everything, good prasadam, ate very well, and says to him, it's a little bit late, I'm leaving now, he says, and left the palace and walked away. I have something urgent business, Narada Maharshi says to Krishna. Total lie. Narada Maharshi says to Krishna, no urgency, no other business either. Actually, he has come to test Krishna, isn't it? But only Narada Maharshi knows that, isn't it? But before Narada Maharshi thought like that, Krishna has understood the whole purpose behind this visit. So Narada Maharshi does not know that Krishna is aware of everything. So anyway, he says like that, Krishna fell again and paid obeisances to Narada Maharshi and says to Rukmini also, Rukmini, she is leaving now, pay obeisances to him. And Rukmini also paid obeisances, touched Narada Maharshi's feet, put it on the head, and Narada Maharshi left. So the way the palaces are built in Dwaraka, Krishna's palace, and there is a garden, next to that Satyabhama's palace, next to that another garden, next to that Jambavati's palace, like that, between two palaces, there is a garden, between each palaces. Similarly, 16,108 palaces and so many gardens as well in between. Vishwakarma has built it according to Krishna's instructions like that. So, Narada Maharshi came out of Rukmini's palace and went into Satyabhama's palace. And in between there is this garden, a huge garden in between. Dwaraka has been constructed like that. One palace, one garden, another palace, another garden in that way. So, both the palaces can use this one garden in between. So, and Narada Maharshi got through one of the gardens, so that practically he has passed through one garden and got into the next house. So, when he looked at the watch, when he left Rukmini's palace, the time was about some around 9:30 or so, after the morning meeting with Rukmini and all that. And when he got into Satyabhama's palace, the clock struck hour 2. The time was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And Narada Maharshi could not understand that. So he walks in there. When he looked at the watch or whatever it is, Narada Maharshi sensed that it is 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the time. And when Narada Maharshi got inside, there's a fight going on in the house. Krishna and Satyabhama is fighting. They are fighting each other. Krishna is fighting with Satyabhama. Satyabhama and Krishna is playing this chess. And Krishna is almost lost in the chess. Krishna is almost lost. So Satyabhama is in a rush to finish that and make Krishna to surrender that she has won the fight. So Krishna is saying that I'll have to play, I've not made my last move, and was trying to get out of the situation. That it is by then that, when all these things are going on, Sri Narada Maharshi walked in. Krishna thought this is the right time he had come.
and kick the whole thing away. This Krishna didn't want Narada Maharshi to see that this is what Krishna and Satyabhama is doing at home, playing chess. Husband and wife sitting together, happily playing chess. Householders again telling us, look, this is what you do normally. Who is saying this? Sri Shuka Brahmarshi. Shuka Brahmarshi is reminding us, this is how you spend your time in the day. Both get together and make plans how to enjoy together. This is the husband life business, isn't it? So that is an indication to all the householders in this world that don't waste your time in this way. Anyway, there, you know what Shuka Brahmarshi thought at that time? Jay Jaya Jida Jehyaga Jangamam. The verse in the Shuddha Gita, famous verse. What is that verse? The Krishna, who is alone capable of kicking Maya out. Maya out. Ajida, that verse used there. So, Shuka Brahmarshi thought many things about Krishna at that time. Anyway, the fight is going on there between Satyabhama and Krishna. It is at that time Narada Maharshi comes in. Krishna saw that. So he threw away the whole thing. He didn't want Narada Maharshi to see what they were doing. That when great personalities are walking in, Krishna says to Satyabhama at that time, look, this is not good in front of them. At least in front of them you shouldn't be doing this. Very sinful, Krishna says to Satyabhama, to do all these things. Krishna gets up from the chair and goes to Narada Maharshi, falls at his feet straight away and says to him, please bless me, put your feet on my head and bless me. Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, how long we haven't seen? It's such a long time you haven't visited us so far. Where were you all this time? And in this blesses and holding Narada Maharshi's hands and putting on Krishna's head, and Krishna says to, what can I do? I have so much prarabdham in my life. I'm so busy with all these things. I unnecessarily got so many marriages I've done. I got married so many times, added to this, look at me, what I'm doing. And in this way, Krishna was apologizing to Sri Narada Maharshi. So, when Sri Krishna, Narada Maharshi looked at Krishna, whatever Krishna is saying is true. He has a lot of prarabdham like this to suffer through. But there is one problem. When he went to Rukmini's palace, Krishna said the same kind of things what he is telling me now. And prarabdham, how long we haven't seen, for only a few hours back we met in Rukmini's palace. Right now Krishna is asking all these questions to me. When did you come? And all these kind of things. And everything as though he is reading it, the script from a book. Such a way Krishna, Narada Maharshi felt, as though it's from a script he is reading it. Every same question what he has asked in Rukmini palace to Narada Maharshi, same question he has asked again here. So Narada Maharshi started thinking, is this Krishna and the Krishna whom I met in Rukmini's palace, are they the same person? Are they the same person? Or maybe not. He was getting confused. So anyway, for some time they spoke, you know, the normal way, in the they had the conversation, and Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, don't leave because you come after such a long time. At least you should stay for 10 days with us, he said. And I don't know what good fortune I have that you had come to visit us like this. And Narada Maharshi was told by Krishna that you go after 10 days. Stay with us for 10 days. And otherwise our habits are like this. We are here, we won't engage in all this kind of things, playing chess and trying to enjoy. That mentality will not be there. So at least stay with us, he said. Narada Maharshi says, I'm a bit busy at the moment. And I will come another time, fully prepared with clothes and everything, to stay for 10 days. I'll organize properly and come. So forgive me for this time, let me go. Narada Maharshi asked like that. Krishna says, if it is like that, I can't insist on that, can I? Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, but at least you should take prasadam and then go. So hardly an hour has gone and he had a lot of prasadam at Rukmini's place. Krishna, but Narada Maharshi didn't think like that. Krishna has fed him with another big feast here. Narada Maharshi had to have the second feast as well. So two or three feasts like this, you can imagine what will happen.
So Krishna says to him that you should not forget us. You should come very frequently and visit us and remind us about our duty, householder's duty. Saying this, Satyabhama and Krishna fell at Krishna's feet and touched Narada Maharshi's feet, asked for blessings and everything. And Krishna sometimes can act very well. Not only he touched Narada Maharshi's feet, he even touched Narada Maharshi's veena and put it on his head. He's expert in acting things like that. He's so expert when he wants to do something. He will beat us all in all these things. And after that, Krishna asked for forgiveness and Narada Maharshi said, bid farewell and left the palace. And then he went into the next palace, walked through the garden and went to the next palace. He's on a search mission, isn't it? On a mission he is. He goes to the next palace. When he got there, he found the time has changed again. Instead of 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it was almost 11 o'clock in the morning. The whole time has changed. So the clock is, time has changed from 2 o'clock to say 12 o'clock or something. From 8:30 in the morning, he went to 2 o'clock. Now from 2 o'clock, it has come back to 11 or 11:30, like that. So when he got there, it was time for prasadam. Time for prasadam. Krishna is sitting there and Jambavati is there. Jambavati has prepared everything for a big feast. Naturally, in Krishna's palace, every day is a feast, isn't it? Krishna is sitting there to have the feast. Jambavati is pouring water for Krishna to wash the hands. And it is at that time, Narada Maharshi is walking in through the gates. Immediately, Krishna stopped eating and gave up eating program. And left the water, everything there, and ran to the gate and fell at Krishna, Narada Maharshi's feet as soon as he was entering from the gate. You see the verse there? 21. What Krishna did. Prishtascha vidushe vaso. Verse 21. Prishtascha vidushe vaso kada ayato bhavaniti kriyade kimnu purnanam purnanam apurnai asmadadibi. Prishtascha vidushe vaso kada ayato bhavaniti kriyade kimnu purnanam apurnai asmadadibi. Apurnai asmadadivi. Then, kadayado bhavanidi. Kadayado bhavanidi. That Krishna got up from there, from the dining table, wherever Krishna was having the prasadam, and got up from there and went up to Narada Maharshi and says to him, I least expected that you would come at this time, but have you been here long time? I didn't notice your presence here. And held Narada Maharshi's hand, brought him inside the house, and says to him, bless us both, me and Jambavati, says there. And says to Jambavati, calls Jambavati, Jambavati, come here, pay your obeisances to, because this is interesting. Jambavati grew up in the cave, has no knowledge how to deal with people. So apparently Jambavati was trained for some time in all the way. Jambavati grew up with Jambavan. And the monkeys and all have a different etiquette, isn't it? They don't follow the human nature. So anyway, Krishna says to Jambavati, if you take the dust from the lotus feet of these great souls, rishis and all, if you put it on top of your head, you will be benefited from that. Krishna is teaching Jambavati all these things. So paid obeisances, both Jambavati and Krishna, and treated Jambavati very well, and another feast. Another feast. So, Shukha Brahmarshi says there, that after Jambavati's feast, if you look at Narada Maharshi, he was like an elephant who was ready for the festival. You know what they do with the elephant before they go for the festival? So in the festival, they had to stand there for about sometimes 8-10 hours without no feeding, nothing. They have to just stand there. Drummers will be playing, other things will be going on there. So what they do, they feed the elephant so well that he gets totally satisfied before he goes for the festival.
So Narada was looking like an elephant who has been kept ready for the festival. Three feasts, one after the other. You can imagine. Rukmini's feast, Satyabhama's feast, now Jambavati's feast. After the three feasts, he's so full up that he couldn't eat anymore. He couldn't eat anymore. And the feast was such, everything was there. What you can normally expect in a feast. Everything. Savories, sweets, all kinds of vegetables. Whatever you can imagine in a feast, everything was present there. And Krishna was saying to Sri Narada Maharshi, don't hesitate. Eat well. And Narada Maharshi is struggling. He cannot say about what happened at Jambavadis and what happened at Rukminis. Because he has come with this mission, isn't it? So he was careful not to reveal that. But Krishna is insisting, have this, have that. Like a typical householder, he was pushing prasadam into Narada Maharshi. So Narada Maharshi is saying, I'm not feeling very well in my stomach, making excuses not to eat. Some or the other made all sorts of excuses and Narada Maharshi left. So, and then Narada Krishna faced obeisances to Narada Maharshi and touched his feet, and Narada Maharshi left that palace also, Jambavadi's palace also. And somehow the other, Narada Maharshi saved his skin, came out of that place. Then, unfortunately, he walked into Lakshmana's palace next. So, when he got there, what was happening? Krishna has finished his meal there. And he was there. After finishing the meal, he was playing with his children, these 10 children, what he has got. He was playing with them. How? 10 of them, there is not much difference in the age between them. You know, people who worship salagram, they keep all salagrams one next to each other. Like these 10 of them are sitting in front of him, in front of Krishna. And like salagram, he is playing with them, with all these 10 salagrams sitting in front of Krishna. So, and not only these 10, another 10 or 15 has come from another home. They are also there. They are all playing together. And Krishna is feeding them all sugar candy and raisins and things like that, and playing with these kids together. This is why Acharya Swami says about Krishna, Trilogi Grihasthaya Vishnu Namaste. In Vishnu Sahasranam Bhashyam, if you look, you will see, Acharya Swamiji gave a name to Krishna like this, Trilogi Grihasthaya Vishnu Namaste. Trilogi Grihasthan. There is nobody else had a householder life like Krishna had in all the three worlds. Trilogi Grihasthaya Vishnu Namaste. Nobody else had a householder life like this, what Krishna had. And Acharya Swamiji pays his obeisances to this householder. Normally, sannyasis don't pay obeisances to householder, isn't it? Sannyasi, householder pays obeisances to sannyasi. But here, Acharya Swamiji, who is a perfect sannyasi, is paying obeisances to a perfect householder. And there he says, Trilogi Grihasthaya Vishnu Namaste. He says, so this Trilogi Grihasthan, I pay my obeisances, he says there. So, another interesting thing. When Narada Maharshi got there, Krishna is a typical householder with all these kids. Narada Maharshi has no experience. How to take the children in the hand, how to play with them. Sannyasi, isn't it? Has no knowledge. Narada Maharshi is one sage who has taken sannyas straight from Brahmachari. You remember? Mariji, Atri, Angiras, Pulasti, Pulaha, Krudu, Bragu, Vasishta, Dakshascha, Dashamatatra, Narada. When the 10 children were born, the 9 got married. All the 9 married. Only Narada Maharshi escaped without getting married. So, in Narada Maharshi's life, he has no experience of how to look after children, how to play with the children, how to act like a householder. So he's standing there, looking at all these children, not able to say anything to them, what to do about it. So, and Narada Maharshi was withdrawing there. He couldn't get involved in the whole thing. He doesn't know how to deal with all these children together. So, that happens sometimes with people. They don't know how to deal with the children, and then they withdraw from the whole scene. So here, what did Krishna do? Krishna says, Krishna had few children on his lap, a couple of them in the hands, and you can imagine Krishna is sitting like this with all the children around him. So Krishna dropped all the children there. Dropped all the children. and went to Narada Maharshi and paid obeisances to him and says to him, Maharshi, look at my prarabdham. Pointing out all the children, saying to him, look at my prarabdham. And took Narada Maharshi and put him on the throne and says to him, ask him, how long have you been here? So what can I do? That my wife Lakshmana, she is not very good in looking after so many kids at the same time. She's not very good at it. And therefore, she is finding it, apparently she is complaining to me that she has got some pain at the back, some aches and pains in the body. She wants some help, therefore I am helping her. Krishna is saying to Sri Narada Maharshi, so I cannot go anywhere. I'm fully busy with looking after the children. What can I do? So still, now that you had come, please bless us, he says. So, and for me, people like you are the only shelter. Krishna is saying to, Krishna can act in such a way, as a householder, he can act like a typical ideal householder. He says to Narada Maharshi, that for people like me, the only shelter is people like you, who can guide us in the right direction. Please bless us. And saying this again and again, paid obeisances. Anyway, I'm glad that you had come. You will only leave after 10 or 15 days, isn't it? Krishna says to Narada Maharshi. At least 10 days you should stay, he says to Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi says, I will come soon. Today I have to go, he says. And it's a bit busy, he said. And then Krishna and Lakshmana says to Narada Maharshi that at least you should come back because that we are hoping that you will come. And saying this, bid farewell to Narada Maharshi. Then he gone into another palace, another one. He walked in. He's finding out how Krishna is managing this, isn't it? So there's a board there, welcome board, outside the gate. When he got there, he realized there's a marriage going on there, in that palace. And there's a marquee, and the lamps were lit, and everything is decorated very well. So when Narada Maharshi got in, he found out that 72 boys were getting married. Because it was an auspicious time. Out of 10 children for 16,108. So imagine how many. Out of them, 72 of those boys were getting married. It was an auspicious time. And also along with that, 57 girls also, Krishna's daughters, were getting married at the same time. And so when he got there, he saw there so many members of the family of different boys and girls. They were coming and going. Obviously, Krishna wanted to minimize the expenditure. It looks like that. The whole marriage was organized in one function. 72 boys and 57 girls. So the whole marquee, so that you have to put up the marquee only once. And naturally, they will all come with their, the boys with their girl side, who are the girls' parents, and their party will come. Similarly, the boys' parents and their party will come. So they will all were coming and going in this marriage ceremony. So, so on the one side you could see there, boys getting married, on the other side the girls were getting married. And they were all going back, husband and wife, newly married boy and a girl, holding their hands together, walking away from them. So Narada Muni could understand, because all of them had their garlands on their neck after the marriage. And new parties were getting married, they were coming without any garland. So Narada Muni sensed that they are not married yet. So and there was also music was going on, and there were people taking with the photographs and everything, all kinds of things happens. So and there were, the interesting thing was, the boys and the girls, they were holding their hands together. Suppose if you have not held them together, it can also happen by mistake, you can change people. Because there's so many marriages, you can imagine. 72 boys and 57 girls marrying, and with so many people there, it's quite possible that you could, you know, the boy can misunderstand the wife, who the bride is, and the girl can also misunderstand the husband is. So therefore, they were always holding the hand together, not to make that mistake. And because Krishna has instructed all of them that you should hold the hand together so that you don't change. And it's a busy time. Krishna is very busy with the whole marriage, walking around everywhere, making sure everything is happening well, properly. So it is at that time, Narada Maharshi has gone inside. So when Krishna saw Narada Maharshi, he gave up everything. He says, "Welcome, Sri Narada Maharshi. You are the right person who should have come at this time of this marriage. Did you get my invitation letter?" Krishna is having a dig at Narada Maharshi. "You must have got my invitation, haven't you?" He says, "Anyway, I'm glad that you got here on time." He says, the way Krishna can act in all these situations, so this is the right attitude, Krishna says. So, and Krishna says to him, that now that you have come, you should spend the day here. Breakfast is arranged there. He says to Narada Maharshi, breakfast is arranged there. And because I'm busy with all these things, at least you should stay for a couple of days so that we can talk about things in detail. And you should not go away straight away. Let the marriage be over. I'm a little bit busy with all these things," he said. And saying all these things, Krishna left Narada Maharshi. He left Narada Maharshi and went to organize the marriages happening there. Narada Maharshi thought, good fortune that he left me and gone away. Narada Maharshi was feeling happy that Krishna had left him. That he can't take even a drop of water anymore because that much he has eaten. And that much he was drunk with various things. So there is no any more desire to eat or drink. So without eating anything, he left that palace, walked out of that palace. Then next went and walked into the next house, next palace. There. So when he got there, what he saw there was Krishna was preparing himself to leave, to go somewhere. And then he was busy, he said, so he has to go. Krishna left. And when he got into another palace, there were some devotees and Krishna was blessing them, these devotees there. So many palaces Krishna walked in, and Narada Maharshi realized one thing, that wherever he went there, Krishna was there in every palace. And then he realized, it's no point in trying to find out about Krishna, Krishna's position, how he is managing householder life. It's no point in trying to find out that. And after this, he said, anyway, before we go, by now he has finished about 7 or 8 houses. Krishna thought that let me look at another 4 or 5 houses before I go away from here. And he was trying to get into another house at that time. So by then, Narada Maharshi lost his way. He said when he changed, walked all this way, he came, got back, and it was Rukmini's palace again, in the front. And Narada Maharshi started thinking, did I not go there in the beginning, before I started all this? And he was thinking, have I lost myself? Have I lost the way? He says like that. When he looked there, in the sky, the sun is rising from the south. Sun is rising from the south. So, with all completely confused. Time, he got confused. The sunrise and sunset, he got confused. And all these different questions from Krishna, and every house he saw Krishna. He thought that, what's the point now? What am I supposed to do? He has come to verify everything, isn't it? So he looked from the gate to inside the house. He saw there Krishna and Rukmini sitting there inside the house. So, and Krishna saw from inside Narada Maharshi standing at the gate. He was there in the morning, isn't it? And told Rukmini and Krishna that I am a bit busy, I'm going. Now he's standing again at the gate. So, quietly, Krishna says to Rukmini, what is this Narada Maharshi doing here? Running around here? He was here this morning and he is running around here. So, Krishna spoke in such a way that Narada could hear that. In such a way he put this to Rukmini. So when he said that to Rukmini, Narada Maharshi thought it's not proper to go in. What am I supposed to say if he asks what are you doing here? So Narada Maharshi got out from that, and he went into when he came out and looked, it was Satyabhama's palace. And he's standing there completely confused. He lost his way. He is also confused with the time, and he's also thinking what time of the day it is. It is. At that time, one person from behind clapped the hands like this to Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi, nobody was there in the street. When he clapped the hand, Narada Maharshi looked back and he saw somebody standing there. That by now, this person looked very dark and very serious also. Very serious also. And the time was almost the sun is setting. That's the time. Sunset. He says to him, "Are you not Narada Maharshi?" This person asked Narada Muni. Narada Muni says to him, "Yes, there's nobody who does not know me." He says to him, but Narada Maharshi says to him, "I haven't met you before. I don't know who you are." He says. He says to him, "That's why I'm asking you to confirm that I just wanted to confirm that you are Narada Maharshi." He says. He said, "Yes. Are you the person who has come to verify Krishna's householder life?" He says. So Narada Maharshi didn't know how to answer that. He was just blinking. So he says to him, "Why are you not saying anything?" This person asked him, Have you verified everywhere?" He says. So and Narada Maharshi says, "No." "How many places have you gone to?" Narada Maharshi says, "I have not kept an account of that, how many palaces I have visited." "Why not?" With full authority he started asking. He says, "I am a policeman in Dwaraka." He says. So, in Dwaraka, he says to Narada Maharshi, "Everybody has been given some responsibility. And my duty is this, that, and whatever responsibility has been given to us, we are meant to perform that properly." And Sri Narada Maharshi was little bit confused. So Narada Maharshi asked him, "Who exactly are you?" He says to him that, "I am in the police department in Dwaraka, just like in plain clothes. Not a policeman in the uniform, but in plain clothes," he says. "And my duty is to investigate of people who are coming here for what purpose? And I came to know that you had come for this." Narada Maharshi could not believe that. He hasn't told anybody that he is going to do this. But he is saying to Narada Maharshi, "I understand that you had come to verify Krishna's householder life, how he is managing, isn't it? And I have been instructed to arrest you and bring you in front of the judge, Krishna." He says, "Sir, and I am come for that," he says to him. And so, therefore, told Narada Maharshi, come along, come with us," he said. And Narada Maharshi says to him, "In my lifetime till now, police has never caught me once. This is the first time police has arrested me," he says. And Narada Maharshi says, "If all other people in Dwaraka come to know, what will they say? Police has caught Narada Maharshi." They will say like that. Isn't it? It's not very nice. Narada Maharshi has been arrested by the police. If that news comes in the newspaper. So, somehow or the other, I want to get out of this situation. He says to him that, "I'll come with you wherever you want me to come, but don't put the cufflinks on my hands. Don't arrest me and don't tell anybody that I've been arrested or anything. I'll come with you wherever you want me to come." And So the policeman says to Narada Maharshi, "Suppose you run away from me without my knowledge, what will I do? So I have to arrest you and I have to properly put all the locks on your hands, isn't it?" So Narada Maharshi says to him that "I will not run away." Narada Maharshi was treated like a criminal. He was arrested and taken to Krishna. When he got there, up to now, Krishna was paying obeisances to Narada Maharshi. This time, Narada Maharshi fell at Krishna's feet. Narada Maharshi fell at Krishna's feet and told Krishna, "Please bless me," he said. At that time, what did Krishna call Narada Maharshi? my dear son, he says. My dear son, you will see that in the Bhagavatam. All otherwise, Krishna always calls Narada Maharshi as a Maharshi. But here, you are like a child trying to test me who I am. You don't know who I am. That was the mood. That is why it is not to teach Narada Maharshi, to teach the world. Don't try to understand Krishna. Don't try to test Krishna. Don't try to judge Krishna. All that is implied in that. That is why it will see there in the chapter, that verse where he says, 40. He says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Brahman Dharmasya Vattaham Karta Tadanimodida Tachikshayam Lokamimam Astida Putrama Kidaham. Brahman Dharmasya Vattaham. I am a person, Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, I instruct this world about spiritual life, dharma, religious principles. I instruct this world about religious principles. What else? Karta tadanumodida. If somebody follows those principles properly, I appreciate that. Karta tadanumodida. Brahman dharmasya vaktaham. I spoke the religious principles to this world. Referring to Krishna has instructed this world in the form of Vedam, isn't it? Vedam has come from Krishna's instructions, that is. Vedam is Krishna's instructions to this world. Brahman dharmasya vaktaham. I am a person who instructed dharmam, religious principles, to this world. Dharmasya kartaham, vaktaham. Karta tadanimodida. If somebody follows them rigorously, and karta, one who follows that principles, tadanimodida, I appreciate them. And then, tachikshayam lokamimam astida putrama kida. Then, I am always pleased with somebody who is follows that, because at least you felt the desire, he says, you felt the desire to understand householder life and the glories of householder life. At least you felt that desire within yourself, and I am very pleased about that. Tachitrayam lokamimam. And go outside and talk to my devotees outside about this. What is important there? I have no connection anywhere in any of these things. That is the important principle. Griheshu atidivad vasan. Remember? Ekadasham. What did Krishna say to Uddhava? Griheshu atidivad vasan. You have to remember, like, live like a guest in the house. And to show to the world how Krishna did that in his life. Whatever externally that has to be done, was done. But inside, Krishna remains aloof from everything. Otherwise, if you get caught up in this householder life, very easily one can fall into the problems. So, he says to Krishna, that Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, tachikshayam lokamimam astida putramam khida, putramam khida. That, and putramakhidam ityancharandam saddharman pavanan grahamedhinam tameva sarvageheshu sandamegam dadarshaha krishnasya anandavirya yogamaya mahodayam muhur drishtva krishir abhut vismido jada kaudugaha. What happened to Narada Maharshi after seeing this householder life of Krishna? He realized that krishnasya anandavirya yogamaya mahodayam. Through yogamaya all this is happening. And muhur drishtva krishi, seeing all these things, krishi abhut vismido jada kauduka. The Maharshi could not believe himself. He was in such a shock after this incident. So he says here that in order to teach the world and to show how to live a proper life in this world, it has to be instructed to the people. For example, those who are performing good activities, salkarmam, in family life, they should be given the results for that. But to show to that, I have taken a form like this, in this form, as a householder, and expanded myself in this way, and married these 16,108 marriages, and lived with them, and showed to the world how a householder life is possible. But Narada Maharshi, I have no connection anywhere in this, in any of these marriages.
So, and these incidents in the Bhagavatam has been spoken for my devotees. When they hear about me, my householder life, they will become pleased with that. They'll become pleased with that. So, talk about this to others. So, in order that this story should be spoken, this incident should be spoken, Krishna instructed Narada Maharshi to do that. And therefore, after this incident, what Narada Maharshi did, straight from Dwaraka, he went to Hastinapur. When he got there to Hastinapur. And there he goes and tells to Krishna's devotees there, who are there? Pandavas. He says to Pandavas that this is how Krishna's householder life is. 16,108 wives, so many palaces, Krishna present in every palace, and so many children, and living a 100% a householder life. And when he heard, when he mentioned everything to Yudhishthira Maharaj at that time, and and Srinath Dharmaputra Yudhishthira Maharaj thought, what a great householder life this is. Yudhishthira felt very pleased by hearing about Krishna's householder life. And it is after that Narada Maharshi leaves that place. By now, Narada Maharshi and Yudhishthira Maharaj spoke to each other and realized that who is Krishna. And that is how Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, you are also a householder. And this is an opportunity to glorify a personality like Krishna as a householder. That's what a householder is meant to do, to appreciate and glorify people like that. And therefore, Rajasuyam was decided. And then Sri Narada Maharshi goes to Dwaraka to invite Krishna, which we will see after break.
Ito darpanam arjanam vavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatna svavanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namna mahari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala Edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabi durdaiva mi drishami hajani nanuragaham trunarabi shunijena tarorabi sahishtuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari mathanam na janam na sundarim kavidamva jagadishakamaye mama janmani janmani shari bhavadad bhaktirahai dugitvaim ऐनन्दतनुजकिङ्करम् पतितामम् विषमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदूलीसदृशम् विचिन्तय नयनम् गलदश्रुधारय वदनम् गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलगैर्निजितम् कदा वपु तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधम् निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायितम् शून्याहितम् जगत्सर्वम् गोविन्दविरहेण मे आश्लेष्यवापादरदां विनष्टुमाम् अदर्शनाम् अर्महदाम् करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदधा दुलम्पटो मल्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापराम्
सो श्रीनारदमहर्षि कम्प्लीटेड् दिस् कृष्णास् गार्हस्य दर्शनम् verifying Krishna's householder life, isn't it? So, Narada Maharshi went to Hastinapuram and told Yudhishthira about everything what is happening in Dwaraka. When he heard that, Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narada Maharshi had a conversation. The necessity to honor Krishna, and a suitable opportunity for that is Rajasuyam sacrifice. So, and Narada Maharshi leaves there. What does all these things teach us? That's the most interesting thing, isn't it? Narada Maharshi tried to examine Krishna, verify Krishna's capacity. That 16,108 wives and how householder life is carried out. Krishna, Narada Maharshi wanted to verify that, isn't it? But what Narada Maharshi has forgotten there is Narada wanted to verify Krishna's position. Narada Maharshi forgotten that there is Krishna above to verify Narada Maharshi. That's what has happened. Narada Maharshi thought, I will verify Krishna's position. Is it not? That's a mistake Narada Maharshi made. Narada Maharshi forgotten that there is somebody above him to verify about him. Verify him. So that is mistake what he, who Narada Maharshi has committed. Same mistake happens to us also. Sometimes we will find fault with others, so many other people. But Krishna is saying there that that gunam dosham, if you remember in the Ekadasham, Krishna mentions this also, that gunadosha chindanam, that also is not proper sometimes, because Krishna is saying that there is somebody judging you as well who is judging others. If you remember, pasyandam na pasyandi dashyandam parameshwaram, in the Bhagavad Gita you can see, in the 13th chapter. So, one who is present as super soul in everybody's heart, as a super soul, who is observing all our activities, every single one of us, all living entities, who their activities is monitored and controlled, and we may think that without Krishna knowing I have done this, without anybody's notice. Yes, you can do so many things without being noticed by others, but who is situated in everybody's heart as the super soul, who is a witness of everybody's activities, that awareness, if you have got it, then you are succeeded in life. Your life is a successful life. The moment we realize that Krishna is present in everyone's heart as the super soul, who is judging everybody every moment, and who makes the decisions about us, that if that realization has come to us, then our life is totally successful. It's a successful life after that. Because Krishna is present in everyone's heart and he is a witness of everything. He is a witness of everything. And if we have come to this realization that he is a witness of everything within us, with everybody, if we have come to that awareness, then you will also have some control on the things to some extent, what happens in this world, if that awareness is inside. So there is a chance that you will not go in the wrong directions if you have this awareness. If that awareness is not there, you will go like the way Narada Maharshi has gone, which was the wrong thing to do, to go and verify about others, isn't it? So Narada Maharshi saw Krishna in different places, in different ways in Dwaraka. But ultimately Narada Maharshi realized Krishna is one, who is present in everybody, in everywhere, in different forms. And similarly, we are also seeing different people in this world, in different places, doing different things and active with so many other things. But if we come to realize that Krishna is present in all of them, who is coming as in different forms here, that realization is the difficult thing to get. That is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning itself, Vidya Vinaya Sambhane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuni Jaiva Shobhageja Pandita Samadarshina. That Samadarshitvam, equal vision to all other living entities, will only come when we realize that it is Krishna who is present as Antaryami in everybody. Only after that, that realization will come. It's easy to recite that verse, but to get that vision in our life is very, very difficult. You will see that Krishna talks about that. Niminavayogi Sambhadam also is about that. Krishna talking to Uddhava also about this. So anywhere and everywhere you will notice this. If somehow or the other, if we have got that vision that Krishna is present in everybody, in all the living entities, and if anything is happening, if one living entity is acting in a particular way, that must be, have been approved by the super soul within to act in that way, and therefore you don't feel that enmity or ragadvesham from that towards that person, not to create that. If it is, that is why, to escape from this ragadvesham, that's the only way you can get out of it. Unless we realize that Krishna is present in that living entity,
That's why he is doing it that way, with his sita's approval. So that way you will not personalize it to individual. And ragadvesham won't come out from that. That is why he is saying here. So, for example, some people are performing good deeds in this world, good activities in this world. Some people are performing bad activities in this world. Some people are fighting in this world. Some people are engaged in business. Some others are in agriculture. Somebody is doing service. All of them, we have to bring them together in all the different fields that they are busy with, and able to recognize that it is Krishna who is present in all these different living beings. If this realization comes, that is Sarvam Khalidam Brahmam. Upanishad conclusion is that Sarvam Khalidam Brahmam. That that is what is spoken in this in this chapter. That is what the important message from that Sri Narada Maharshi's examination of Krishna's householder life. This is the message from that. To come to this understanding that we all have this problem. That we say somebody else is responsible for this or that. But ultimately it is Krishna who is doing this. As Super Soul present in everybody's heart, things are happening in this world. We have no control over it. So, before going into Rajasuyam, which is the next chapter, something important to realize also that when you go into the fourth canto, just going back a little bit for a few minutes, in Chaturtha Skandham, that is the fourth canto, so different people give different names to different cantos, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, it is used the words as Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Uti, Manandaram, Ishanagata, Nirodham, Mukti, Ashrayam. There's 12 names for the 10 names for the Dashalakshanam. So it's the 10 names for 10 cantos spoken there. The commentators on Bhagavatam, like Vallabhacharya, Sridhara Swami also, they have called Srishti Skandam, Vasana Skandam. In this way they have given name. For example, third canto is Sargam. They call it a Srishti. Creation, Srishti Skandam, they call it. Similarly, fourth canto is called Purushartha Skandam. Purushartha Skandam. Purushehi Arthedi Purushartha. That means, for Purushartham, which means Dharmam, Artham, Kamam, Moksham. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. The four things. So, in order to explain these four things, in the fourth canto, through four different stories it's spoken. For example, the first seven chapters is Daksha sacrifice, Dakshayagam, isn't it? That means this, it all has got its own explanations to that in the Bhagavadam, that Sridhar Swami comments this, that why spoken through seven chapters? Reason is that when karmam is performed, activities are performed in this world, in seven different levels, purity is required. Purity is required in seven different levels. For example, it says, Desha kala tadha mantram shariram cha manastama tadha drevyam cha indriyam chaiva sapta shuddhi pragirtita. In seven levels, one has to be pure while performing the karmam. Only in that case, that karmam will produce the proper results. Dharmam. That means karmam is actually turns into dharmam, isn't it? Through karmam it becomes dharmam. So what are they? Desham, kalam. That means place and time. Then tatha mantram. The mantram involved in that. Sangalpam in other words. Shariram, the body. Manas, mind. Tada dravyam. The dravyam, the ingredients you have used in that. Cha indriyam chaiva. Also your senses, how pure they are while executing the karma. If all these seven things are pure, then the action is pure, and then from that karma, dharmam will come. Dharmam will come from. That's called Saptashuddhi. This is Vallabhacharya's commentary on the Bhagavatam, where he mentions this. So therefore 7 chapters for Dakshayagam in that way. Then 5 chapters for Dhruva Maharaj story. Five chapters for Dhruva Maharaj. That's how in the 4th canto is. So then similarly 5 chapters for Artha Prakaranam, and that is Dhruva Charitram, and afterwards 11 chapters for Prithu Maharaj story in the Bhagavatam. This is all in the 4th canto, isn't it? So, Dhruva Maharaj story, the first 7 chapters, which is Dakshayagam, Daksha story, it is referring to Dharmam. That's what is taught through that. Dhruva Maharaj story, which is the next 5 chapters, related to Artham, about acquiring wealth. Then, next 11 chapters is Prithu Maharaj's story related to Kamam, fulfillment of the desires, isn't it? So, and then after that, 8 chapters, which is related to the story of Prachetas, is the chapter related to Moksham. So, Dharmam, Artham, Kamam, Moksham has been presented through 4 different episodes in the 4th canto. First one with Dakshayagam, second one with Dhruva Maharaj story, third one through Prithu story, and the last one through the story of Prachetas story. We are interested in Prachetas story. That's what I wanted to talk about. This Prachetas story is in 8 chapters. Why 8 chapters? Vallabhacharya explains that. He says that unless you get over 8 components in the creation, you can't get released from here. Which are the 5 material elements? Mind, intelligence and false ego. Is it not? Remember, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Bhinna Prakriti Ashtatha Bhumi Rapanalo Vayu Khammano Buddhi Devacha Ahangare Idiyame Bhinna Prakriti Ashtatha. So, Ashtatha Prakriti, or these 8 Prakriti, material natures, different 8 elements, unless you go beyond these 8 prakriti, liberation is not going to happen. You don't get free from material existence. These 8 you have to cross through. 5 material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. If you have gone beyond these 8 prakriti, you can reach Krishna. That is why these 8 chapters. So, while commenting on this chapter, Sridhara Swami mentions that Chaturvimshe, this adhyayam, what is spoken in that? It is common in Sridhara Swami's commentary. If you look, you will find that before every chapter, he will give a summary of that chapter in one verse, one or two verses. Only the 10th canto, he has taken a few verses to give you the summary of the 10th canto. But otherwise, before every chapter, Sridhara Swami summarizes the whole thing in one verse and puts it before. Here also he has done the same thing in the 4th canto. So, when you come to this Prachetas story, in the 24th chapter, there is this famous prayers which Lord Shiva has taught to Prachetas, which is called Rudragidam. One name is Rudragidam, another name is called Yogadesham. It was prayers taught by Lord Shiva to Prachetas to chant. They spent 10,000 years underneath the water chanting this Rudragidam and pleased Krishna. That you know in Bhagavatam, if you read, you will see there. All this history is mentioned that. So, they were children of Prachina Brahis. Prachina Brahis is the father. Prachetas were the children. The word itself is Prachetas is Prakrishtena Chetasa. These names, you should be careful in Bhagavatam. All the names has its meaning. No name you will find in the Bhagavatam without a proper... It points out to something about the person. So the word Prachetas is Prakrashtena Chetasa. That means there is something special about their consciousness with all of them. And a name that suited all of them. Why? Because talking about their lineage... This in the 4th canto, that Prithu's son was, Prithu Maharaj's son was Vijidashva.
Vijidashva, he got that name because he won over Indra and managed to bring the horses back from Indra in the sacrifice. That story you have to remember in the Bhagavatam. Then he had, this Vijidashva had one quality, Bratru Valsalaha, says in the Bhagavatam. He was very friendly to all his brothers. Very friendly to all his brothers. And he had more attachment to all these brothers. So what he did was, instead of enjoying himself all the wealth, he divided the whole wealth and told his brothers to rule the planet in four different directions. He told them to rule it like that because he didn't want to offend them or upset them. He had an attachment for them. Normally all the brothers don't do like this, isn't it? You'll always find problem between brothers. It's quite common in the world that, especially after getting married, and then the whole problem starts between brothers, is it not? So, and that is how families get broken up. The wife demanding this and husband says yes to please her, then relationship breaks up with the brothers, other brothers. So, and when the breakup happens, you can see the brothers who live together at one time as brothers, there's no more brothers anymore. It's finished with that. Then they'll say goodbye. Before death itself, they say goodbye to each other and go in their own way. Isn't it? But here, in this Vijidashva's story, if you read, you'll find this great quality in him, knowing well that wealth should not become a problem later. What he did was, he divided the world and told them that you can rule all these sides. So there's no confrontation later. Sri Ramachandra Prabhu also did exactly the same thing. Is it not? You know, Ramachandra did exactly the same thing. Never shown any interest in ruling the planet. He was not very concerned about that. What did Ramachandra do? Ramachandra handed over a kingdom to Lakshmana. Lakshmana Puri, which is today called Lucknow. So there was a big kingdom surrounded in Lucknow, which was then called Lakshmanapuri, and that has become where Lakshmana became the king there. And then similarly, which is very close to Naimisharanyam, where Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by the rishis, and Shavinaga Rishi and Sutta. Sutta Goswami spoke Bhagavatam there, in that place, Nisar, it's called. Then to Bharata, he gave a kingdom to him, which is called Bharatpur. It is still there, not far from Hastinapur, where Bharata ruled from there. Shatrughna was given Mathura, Mathura was built by Shatrughna actually. The land was given, Ramachandra told him to rule from Shatrughna. Shatrughna built the Mathurapuri. Ramachandra built it for Shatrughna and told him to rule from Mathura. So Ramachandra divided the kingdom in this way and gave all of them some land to rule, a kingdom to rule, and Ramachandra ruled from Ayodhya. Similarly, you will find the same thing in this story also with Vijidashva, did the same thing. Dhumrakesha, Vraga, Dravina and Haryaksha, the four personalities, their brothers. He told four of them to go in four different directions and rule from there. So, so Vijidashva, because of his capacity to, he was the son of Prithu, Prithu Maharaj's son. And Vijidashva had a special blessing from Atri, that he got this capacity called Antardhanam power. Antardhanam power, if you are talking to him, suddenly he can disappear from your vision. You can't find him anywhere. Antardhanam. Antardhanam means to disappear from your vision. This Antardhanam power was given to him by Atri, the sage. So, you know that story is there in the Bhagavatam, that when Prithu Maharaj was performing the Ashwamedham sacrifice, Indra came there to steal the horses in the fourth canto. And when Vijidashva ran after Indra, to get back the horse from there, Indra changed his dress into a sannyasi form. If you take a sannyasi dress, you can steal. This freedom,
this training, Indra started this. Indra told them that, Indra changes dress to sannyasi. So because he was a sannyasi, Vijayadasa told him, I'll leave him alone. Give me the horse back and let Indra go. Let Indra go. Second time, again the same thing, he brought the horse back and tied on to the post, yubam. They call it yubam. To the yubam they have tied it. And again the brahmanas were chanting the hymns for the sacrifice, Ashwamedham. 99 Ashwamedham he has performed. While Ashwamedham was going on, that again Indra comes and steals the horse. Steals the horse. So this time when Vijayadasa went after him, he changed his sannyasa dress. He became a nagna sannyasi, a naked sannyasi this time. And Indra took different forms at that time, and all the Pashanda Madam, atheistic religions, has come from that. From Indra's these different dresses. Nagna Rekta Padadishu. So it is from that form which Indra has taken, these Nagna Sannyasis have come into this world. You know, that is Jainism, they have these Nagna Sannyasis who don't wear anything. And that Nagna Sannyasam tradition was started by Indra. From Indra this has come about it. Similarly, Bauddha Sannyasam also is a part of the dress what Indra has shown. So that is why when you don't accept the authority of the Vedam in total, everything what else you do is all manipulated things. Bauddha Madham has manipulated. Although philosophically Bauddham is not very far from Upanishads. But all their Acharam, because they rejected Varnashrama Dharma, which is a part of the Vaidika Dharma, and they created their own philosophical understanding like this sannyasam and all that, it was all taken from Indra. Indra sannyasam style, Bauddha followed, Jaina also followed, and therefore Acharya Swamiji's commentary about Bauddham and Jainam is like that. We do not accept there. Unless you accept the authority of the Vedam and Vedic conclusions in total, you cannot say that you are following Vedam. You cannot say you are following Vedam unless you accept in total what is mentioned in the Vedam, instructed in the Vedam. So anyway, because it was a sannyasi dress, he was let free. Vijayadasa let him free. And under Dana Shakti power, Indra was felt pleased actually that he has let me go freely. Vijayadasa could have killed Indra. But Indra felt satisfied, and as a gratitude, he told Vijayadasa, you will have the same power what I had, this Andardhanam power, able to disappear in front of you. And Vijayadasa got that. So, Vijayadasa had three children. This Vijayadasa had three children from a wife called Shikhandini. Three children were born. And then from another wife, Nabhaswati, he had three children as well. So, so, these children who were born like that, Vasishtha had cursed them and in a previous life. And they had come and taken birth as Vijayadasa's children. And then, that is another story. It is the whole thing goes from one thing to another, one thing to another. You can see how in the Puranas all these stories are interconnected. So, Vasishtha's story is not spoken in the Bhagavatam. What happened to them, why Vasishtha cursed them and all that. So anyway, this much if we understand that Vijayadasa had these three children from Shikhandini and three from Nabhaswati. Three from Nabhaswati. So, and this Vijayadasa had a son called Havirdhana who was born from Nabhaswati. Havirdhana didn't like ruling the planet. He didn't like it at all because this administration business is very headache. First of all, as a king you have to punish people. Isn't it? At that time, the king had the authority to punish others. Then, and then he has to collect the taxes. That's also another headache. Sometimes you don't know, you have collected wrongly taxes from people. Nowadays nobody cares, isn't it? You collect whatever they can. They are also trying to rip you off. Everybody is trying to rip off everybody. So even the tax system has become like that. So everybody try to guard themselves from the taxation. But kings, they had conscious of all these things. The collecting taxes from public without proper explanations or properly, sometimes over collection can happen. Taxes.
So it's also a problem. So dandam, shulkam, all these things. So he decided, I don't want any of these things. So he left. He left. He didn't want to do anything. So here what happened was, while performing sacrifices also, Indraya Swaha, Indraya Idamna Mama. That means it is the mantram to be chanted. Agnaya Swaha, Agnaya Idamna Mama. What it says is that you're making an offering, Indraya Swaha, but Indraya Idamna Mama. Everything you will see this in Idamna Mama. Why? It is not mine. It's not mine that I am offering. It is what has been given to me, I'm offering it to you. It's not mine. So why all the Vedic mantram has this Idamna Mama connected with that? To get rid of that ahankaram from inside. We all think we own this, we own that, we possess this, we possess that. And when we give it to Krishna, we think, I have given this to Krishna, as though you've done a great favor to Krishna. In order to get that out of our mind, nobody is to be blamed. It's just the way the ahankaram works inside. Every mantram, while sacrifices are performed, in the mantram is chanted, this Idamna Mama will come there in that, and that is why it will mention like that. Agnaye Swaha, Agnaye Idamna Mama. While performing the offering to Krishna, that Agni, fire, who is the face of Krishna, and who accepts all the sacrifices, because Krishna accepts through Brahmanas and the fire. So when whatever you're offering into the fire, Agni is supposed to carry it to Krishna. So, yogam, karmam, you have executed properly in the form of karma yogam. And there you will notice this, that this karma yogam, when it is accepted, there is the famous prayers in the Bhagavatam called Hamsa Gidam. Hamsam. Hamsam. So this Hamsam, Hamsa Guhya prayers, it's called in the Bhagavatam, Hamsa Guhya prayers, like Rudra Gidam. They all have a lot of connection with the Upanishads and the Vedam. Only thing is, just don't get carried away by their ordinary prayers. They are not ordinary prayers in the Bhagavatam. Hamsa Guhya prayers, Rudra Gidam prayers, they are all have very close connection with the Vedic literature, particularly Vedam itself and with the Upanishads. That's why if you listen to the explanation of that prayers, you can start appreciating why these prayers are so important. Whatever it may be, then our point is not that. But we'll come to that later. When we discuss them, if we get a time to do that. But, so here you will see that mentioned in the fourth canto, that this Hamsam or so, Hamsa Guhya prayers you will find there, that everybody chants this Hamsam prayers. Everybody, knowingly or unknowingly. What is that prayer? Prayer is this, that when you breathe inside, you breathe outside. Isn't it? So this breathing itself is the chanting process. And the pranan inside, pranan is the breathing, isn't it? That pranan is nothing but Krishna's another manifestation. All Hamsa Bhagavan, Hamsam it is. So, Hamsam, chanting the Hamsam prayers is this breathing process in a living body. So, so when you read that fourth canto, we will not discuss the whole thing in detail, just because there's some other purpose of saying all these things. While chanting this Hamsa Guhya prayers, the prayers are chanted in such a way, fully conscious that, while breathing, it is Krishna who is going inside. While inhaling, Krishna is going inside. While exhaling, it's Krishna who is going outside. Have you noticed? This one activity, you have no control over this, isn't it? It's happening at night time. Even in your deep sleep, it's happening. You don't even know who is doing it. That itself is a proof that you are not doing it. Which one? This breathing in, breathing out. Hamsa Guhya prayers. That's what it is about Hamsam. It is spoken there. So, that realization when it comes, Hamsa Guhya prayers says there, that without any Vedabuddhi, Vedabuddhi means to think, we all have Vedabuddhi in us, that is the whole problem, isn't it? Vedabuddhi means to think that somebody is important, somebody else is not important. Somebody is rich, somebody is poor. And to think that somebody is beautiful, somebody is ugly. This is all due to Vedabuddhi. Somebody is intelligent, somebody is dull. So, but Kushalena Samadhinam. And this philosophy that is spoken in the Hamsaguhya prayers, as well as in the Rudragidam, if you read it well and properly understand that, it is basically Vedantam it is, spoken in a very higher level, in a very, very higher level. And interesting thing is, Hiranyakashipu also knew all these things. Hiranyakashipu also knew his thing. He used to say that in Vedantam it says that all living entities is also Krishna. Isn't it? Because why? It is in the fourth canto, it is in the seventh canto, everywhere you will see. The Atma inside is nobody else than Krishna himself within us. So, if you ask the question, is Hiranyakashipu a Vedanti in that case? If you ask that question, only problem is Hiranyakashipu used to think that his body is God. He used to think in terms of the body. Vedantis, when they say he is God, he is not saying his body is God. What he is saying is the living soul inside is nothing but Krishna, who is present inside. It is from that position he is saying he is God. Not saying from the bodily identity. That we must be very, very clear. Otherwise, you will misunderstand. So, when Hiranyakashipu performed all these penances, and when he spoke Vedantam to Hiranyakashipu's mother, Didi Devi, and to Hiranyakashipu's wife and all that, when you read in the Bhagavatam in the seventh canto, you must always remember, you may think that, oh, he knows everything, all the philosophy. Why does he still act like this? The way he tortured Prahlada, the way he tried to fight with Narasimhamurti and all. If he had proper understanding, he knows the philosophy well, you may think like that. The problem is, Hiranyakashipu realized knows everything, but still he thought that he is this body. That's the problem. Whereas, proper Vedantists who have come to that understanding, only then when he says that, I am Krishna, Krishna is present within me, he is not speaking that based on the body. He is speaking from the platform of the soul, platform of the soul. So, this these people, they had, Havirdhana had six children, as I mentioned. Their names are also mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And then, if you go on reading that, Sridhara Swami mentions there that later on, you will see Prajina Barhis comes there. I'm just talking about the lineage for a moment because I want to talk about Prajedas. That is why I'm bringing this in now. And Prajedas had come from this Prajina Barhis. Prajina Barhis children they were. So up to now you have seen Pudumaraj, Vijayadashwa, Vijayadashwa children, Havidana, Havidana, and from there in that series this Prajina Barhis had come. Prajina Barhis married a girl called Shatadrudi. And it is from Shatadrudi that these Prajedas were born. Apparently, when this Shatadrudi was so beautiful that when Prajina Barhis married her, they have a ceremony that you hold the girl's hand, the husband, and circumambulate the fire and the brahmana seven times. Saptapadi it's called. Seven steps. It is still followed some places sometimes. You can get the leaflet printed on that. Available. All that. How strict we are on the Vedic path to show. Anyway. So Saptapadi is what it is called. So Sridhara Swami mentions there that they are circumambulating the fire. This story, Sridhara Swami brings it from somewhere. I don't know where it's coming from. He mentions there. So, Agni Bhagavan, Agni, they are circumambulating. Agni saw this girl, Shatadrudi,
and was affected by that. Agni was affected by that. So, Sridhar Swami mentions there, right from Lord Brahma, right up to the end, everyone is a jiva here. Isn't it? So, when your prarabdham will come out, you never know. This Agni got affected by the beauty of Shatadruti. And what happened? Then Agni wanted to enjoy with her, with this Shatadruti. Imagine, they are circumambulating Agni, and Agni wants to enjoy with Shatadruti at that time. That is why, then what happened was, Swaha, Agni's wife is Swaha. You remember when you make the offer into the fire? Agnaya Swaha, Indraya Swaha, all Swaha, everything Swaha. So what happened was, this Agni's wife, seeing Agni's mood, that he is affected by Shatadruti, what Swaha decided to do, to protect Agni from this fall, what he did was, she took the form of the wives of the different Saptarishis. Who are the Saptarishis? Jamanagni, Atri, Vasishta. There's a list of them in the Bhagavatam, you can see. So it's seven rishis. So she managed to take the form of these different rishis' wives. They are all very well known personalities, highly beautiful girls. They are, all of them. Atri's wife, Asishta's wife, Arundhati. And not only beautiful, highly qualified as well. Through their tapasya, penances, that is why their husbands are so powerful personalities, isn't it? Vasishta, imagine Vasishta as the husband, Atri as the husband. And their connection with the Krishna is so close in that way. Atri's wife is Anasuya. Similarly, Jamadagni's wife, Renuga. You remember in the 9th canto, the story of Jamadagni and Renuga, where Parashurama killed Renuga and brought her back to life through Jamadagni's power. So there were such personalities, these rishis. And Jamadagni and Renuga, Vasishta and Arundhati, Atri and Anasuya, like this. So different wives of these rishis, they were very, very beautiful women. So, so she took the form of these different wives of the rishis and tried to please Agni in that way, to get him's attention away from Shatadruti in that way. So, but only thing was, when it came to Arundhati, this Swaha could not do it properly. Because Arundhati was so chaste and so pure in his dealings with everybody. So when they saw Swaha Devi, she is called Agni's wife, she couldn't properly imitate Arundhati's role in front of Vasishtha. In front of Agni. Anyway, after they had this relationship, who the different wives of form, this relationship happened with Agni, that they this Swaha Devi took the form of a parrot, and the all the semen from Agni, from the six different, from the seven different sages except Vasishta. Seven sages, Vasishta they couldn't do it, but from all the other six sages, their semen which she has collected and put that on top of a kusha grass, darbha grass. They have put that on the darbha grass. And when they combined all the semen from all these six rishis, sages, that took a form, and that is Kartikeya or Subramanya. So Subramanya's birth is spoken in two different ways in the Puranams. In Sridhara Swami speaks like this, quoting from another Puranam, which I don't know which one it is, and that it is probably from Mahabharatam he has taken that. In Skanda Puranam it is spoken in a different way, little different way. So whatever it is, to know who Subramanyam is. Subramanyam is not an ordinary person. The power behind him,
that six great rishis, their potency is in him. So, and in Mahabharatam it says, and he is considered to be the son of Lord Shiva. But there Mahabharatam says, Lord Shiva came to see him when this form was taken. So, whatever it is, finally, this our Prajina Varghis, he had these 10 children. We are more concerned about this. These 10 children were born. They are called Prajedas. Prajedas. What is interesting about them? They, all 10 children had only one name. What called? Prajedas. One name. So, if you give them 10 different names, it would have been difficult. Why? Because anytime if you call Prajedas, all 10 of them will come. They were always together. They did everything together. They ate together. They slept together in the same time. And their way of thinking and doing things were always same. Never different. Never different. Equal, always the name, same name and the same nature. So what happened was, they were so equal, if you feed one child, that was enough, all other 9 were felt as though they were fed. To that extent they were close. 10 different bodies, but one person, in 10 different bodies. If you have fed one child, all the other 9 children were fed automatically. Their hunger will go. They never felt hungry. Similarly, if you put to sleep one child, all the 9 others will also fall asleep. Many mothers think if you have 3-4 children to put them small, if they have to put them to sleep, all of them, it's a lot of work for them also, is it not? So, and similarly feeding 3-4, all 4 of them want 4 different things to eat, and all of them demand different ways. So you can imagine the mother's problem. She has to make sure that everybody gets what they want. But Prajedas, as though they had only one son, they had to look after them. So, if you feed one child, all the 9 were fed. If you put one child to sleep, all the 9 will fall asleep. Tulya nama vradaha. So, but, when Prajina Varghis told Prajedas to go and perform austerities and penances before entering to householder life, this is an important thing, before entering householder life, All ten of them went. So, what is Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us? Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, for everything else, from the family, one person can go, that's enough. For example, if there is a marriage, or if somebody, there is a death in a family, you don't have to go. The whole family doesn't have to go. It's not necessary. One person representing the family, if he goes, it's more than enough. It's more than enough if one person goes. In the world, we make it big thing. Oh, marriage, we have to go. All of us have to go. And we make it a big thing if you all don't go for the marriage. Is it not? Bhagavatam is not saying like that. Bhagavatam is saying, this from this Prachetas story is teaching us, that issues, material things like marriage, like death, or birthday or whatever it is, if a one person goes from a family representing the family, that's more than enough. That means anything material activities, it can be done like that. But when you go for satsangam, you shouldn't go alone. You should go with the wife, go with the children, with all the family members you should go for satsangam. That is what Prajedas is teaching us this. This, it is not my concoction or anything. Swami Krishna Premi says this. I heard him saying this, that this is the way you should go for satsangam. You should go with the whole family members, whether children, grandchildren, whoever it may be in the family, you should go together for satsangam. Never avoid. Satsangam is not only for... Why do we have the problem? Problem is this. We are trying to understand Bhagavatam. Isn't it? Bhagavatam cannot be understood easily. It is not possible. There is a lot clearing up required before we properly experience Bhagavatam inside. It is not possible with intelligence to capture Bhagavatam. That's not possible. And if we think that, oh, if I listen carefully, attentively, everything with my intelligence, I will understand. Brahma Vidya is not for understanding. That's the first thing. Remember, when we talked about Ramana Maharshi, we mentioned this. There were many, many big people, scientists, professors, big politicians, they were coming to see Ramana Maharshi. Ramana Maharshi didn't waste his time with them. There was a little girl who came from Hyderabad, Lakshmi by name, 7-year-old. He was talking to her about Brahma Vidya. Remember that? Deham naham, soham, sokoham. That realization, she got it. That child got it. So for whom it will work, it not depend on your intelligence or your understanding power. That is not what makes that the who gets the message. Super soul, Andaryami, who is situated in everybody's heart, from the smallest baby right up to the 80-year-old, 90-year-old person, unless Andaryami inside accept this, you are not going to experience it. The knowledge of the soul, that is the important bit. So that is why anyone and everyone, if given an opportunity to hear Bhagavatam, it doesn't matter who it is, that may, to whom it will work, you will never know. To whom it will work, you will never know. Whereas we are still under the understanding concept that, oh, I have read this book, I have heard this, and I will analyze this, I'll care, listen carefully, attentively, and I will capture the message. You can't capture it. Brahma Vidya is not for to be distributed in that way. That is why it's so important that Prachetha's story, quoting this, Krishna Premi mentions this. That and it is vouched by other great personalities, like Ramana Maharshi says. He didn't, when Dr. Radhakrishnan went to see Ramana Maharshi, he didn't waste his time with him. And so many other big professors were coming to see him. Instead, he found a time to talk to a little girl, 7-year-old, and he taught her that I am not this body. And the message got inside. Can you imagine? So that is why Deham Naham Soham Koham. That came out from that. Later on, she left her body chanting this realization from within. So it is not easy to get. The whole purpose of Vedic literature is to get this insight. I am not this body first. That is the first step. And that to whom it will happen, when it will happen, how it will happen, where it will happen, is unknown to us. Salsangam is only an outlet where you may get a possibility to hear about it. And in that process, somebody may get the benefit. And that is the reason that why it is said that Prajedas, when they did everything else, while eating, sleeping, playing and doing other things, they all did it separately. They didn't bother. It was not important for them. When they had to perform austerities and penances to please Krishna, to go underneath the water for 10,000 years, they did it all together. They did it all together. And that is why he says there that how important it is in satsangam, everybody should attend. It is not only for the young or intelligent or got so many degrees and got all kinds of qualifications and everything. It has nothing to do with spiritual life. Brahma Vidya is, that is why Brahma Vidya is Brahma Vidya, isn't it? Why Brahma Vidya is different than all other knowledge? Because you never know when it will happen, how it will happen to anybody for that matter. So that is the important bit to mention here, that in Salsangam also it is an important factor that Krishna is saying here, that in this Prajeda story is teaching us that point, that important point. So what we will do? We will now read a couple of chapters and then we will stop for the day.
Saptalidamodhyaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Shri Shuka Uvacha Athosha Sipavrittayam Kukkudan Kuja Doshaban Grihita Gandapati Pirmadhavyo Virahatura Vayam Siyururuvan Krishnam Bhodayan Diva Vandinam Kaya Sulishwa Nidrani Mandaravana Vayubhi Muhurtam duvai dharbi namrshada dishovanam parirambana vishlesham priyabahundaram gada.
You can see that even before reading this, that We have misunderstanding a lot of things about Brahmavidya. We are thinking Brahmavidya is like I go and sit in university hearing a lecture. That is not Brahmavidya. That is all through mind and intelligence. That is why when Srinarada Maharshi, he has taught us this. He spoke to Kayadhu and sitting, staying inside Kayadhu's womb, Prahlada got the message. Is it not? Prahlada got the message. What does that show? Who will get when? Nobody knows. All you can do is to keep talking. That's why in the olden days, nowadays it is different. Everybody goes to Watford General or St. Albans or wherever it is for the delivery, isn't it? But in the ancient times, the system was that when the mother is pregnant, while in the pregnancy state itself, Brahmanas used to chant Vedic mantras with the ghee in the hand and feed the mother. Because they know that this chanted Vedic mantras through the ghee and fed to the mother will reach the baby. For baby's benefit. Mother is too late now. But for the baby's benefit, the Brahmanas had the faith in the Vedic hymns. They chanted. So many great personalities were born like that by this process. So the way to reach the baby inside the womb was through the ghee that was fed to the mother after chanting the Vedic mantra. So they were aware of this, that who will get this message is unknown to us. We, at the age of 80 also, we are not getting it, the message. What Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Still we are asking, how can that be? How can this be? And then we will bring something from the outside and we will contradict everything. There's nothing to contradict here. Either you accept what Krishna is saying in the Vedic literature. The knowledge of the soul is so important that till realization happens, all this is, rest of the thing is all useless, isn't it? So that is why I'm saying this, this because that Prajeda's example is to teach us this important point. When it is Brahmavidya, everybody rushed in. There was no one of them going. But eating, sleeping, that was enough. They had to feed. They were all together in that way. Vayasyam vayamsya vayam sriruvan krishnam bodayan divavandina gayasulishanidrani mandaravana vayubhi muhurtam dandu vaidharbe namrshadadishobhanam parirambana vishleshal priyabahundaram gada brahme muhurtamuthaya vayubasprashyamadhava dadhyoprasannagaranam alpanam tamasaparam. That verse. Brahme muhurtamuthaya vayubasprashyamadhava dadhyoprasannagaranam alpanam tamasaparam. Krishna got up early in the morning. Brahma Muhurtam, he got up, isn't it? Brahma Muhurte Uthaya. You may ask the question, why Krishna has to get up so early in the morning? What's the need? He can get up about 8 or 10 o'clock in the morning. We have to get up because we have to do the sadhana and all that. Why Krishna is getting up so early? In the Bhagavatam you will see, Brahme Muhurtam Uthaya. What did he do getting up so early? Vayubasprashyamadhava. After washing, before even taking bath, washing hands and legs, what did he do? Dadhyau prasannagaranam alpanam tamasapara. He was absorbed in what is that? Brahmavidya. What for? He doesn't need it to show to us what we should do. While getting up in the morning, after just washing the hands and legs, sat in the bed, and before even going to bathroom and bathing and everything, even before that, the first thing Krishna is showing to us, Brahme Muhurtam Uthaya Vayubasprashyamadhava. Vayubasprashyamadhava means after washing the hands and the legs with water. Dadhyau Prasannakaranam Alpanam Tamasaparam. Going back to the actual state of realized state, to stay in that state for some time. Alpanam tamasaparam. This is what Krishna has done here. That's what we will discuss in the summer holidays. There is the famous verses on about that, three verses. Acharya Swamiji wrote those three verses to teach us that, how that can be done. It is possible. There's only three verses which is mentioned. And those three verses which we'll discuss in the summer holidays. Egam swayam jyotir ananyam avyayam swa samsaya nitya nirasa kalmasham
ബ്രഹ്മാഖ്യമസ്യോദ്ഭവനാശഹേതുഭി സ്വശക്തിഭിർലക്ഷിത ഭാവനിർവൃതിം അഥാപ്ലുതോംഭസ്യ മലെ യഥാവിധി ക്രിയാകലാപം പരിധായ വാസസി ചകാര സന്ധ്യോപകമാദി സത്തമോ ഉദാനരോ ബ്രഹ്മജജാപവാഗ്യത ഉപസ്ഥായർക്കമുദ്യന്തം തർപ്പയിത്വാത്മനക്കല ദേവാമൃഷീൻ പ്രധാൻ പിതൻ വൃദ്ധാൻ വിപ്രാനഭ്യർച്ചജാത്മവാൻ വിധേനൂനാം രുക്മശൃംഗീനാം സാധ്വീനാം മക്തികസ്രജാം പയസ്വിനീനാം കൃഷ്ണീനാം സവത്സാനാം സുവാസസാം ദപോരൂപ്യഗുരാഗ്രാണാം ക്ഷൗമാജനതലൈ സഹ അലംകൃതേഭ്യോ വിപ്രേഭ്യോ ബദ്ധ്വം ബദ്ധ്വം ദിനേ ദിനേ ഗോ വിപ്രദേവതാ വൃദ്ധ ഗുരുൻഭൂതാനി സർവശ നമസ്കൃത്യാത്മസംബോധിർ മംഗളാനി സമസ്പൃശൽ ആത്മാനം ഭൂഷയാമാസ നരലോക വിഭൂഷണം വാസോഭിർഭൂഷണേ സുവിയേർ ദിവ്യസഘ്നലേപനൈ അവീക്ഷ്യാജ്യം ദദാദർശം ഗോവൃഷദ്വിജ ദേവത കാമാംശ സർവവർണാനാം പൗരാന്തപുരചാരിണാം പ്രതാപ്യ പ്രകൃതി കാമേ പ്രദോഷ പ്രത്യനം ദദ സംവിഭജ്യഗ്രതോ വിപ്രൻ സക്രാംബൂലനുലേപനൈ സുഹൃത പ്രകൃതിദാരാൻ ഉപായും തത സ്വയം താവത് സൂതമുദുദ്വാനീയം സന്ദനം പരമാദ്ഭുതം സുഗ്രീവാദ്യർഹൈരുക്തം പ്രണമ്യാവസ്ഥിതോഗ്രത ഗൃഹീത്വാ പാണിനാ പാണി സാരദേ സമഹാരുഹ സാത്വിക ദുദ്ധവ സംയുക്ത പൂർവാദ്രിമിവ ഭാസ്കര ഈക്ഷിതോ അന്തപുരസ്ഥേനാം സവ്രീഡ പ്രേമ വീക്ഷിതേ കൃച്ഛ്രാബ്ദി സൃഷ്ടോ നിരക ജാതഹാസോ ഹരന്മന സുധർമാഖ്യം സഭാം സർവേർ വൃഷ്ണവി പരിവാരിത പ്രാവിശന്തി നിമിഷ്ടാനം ന സന്ധ്യങ്ങ ഷഡൂർമയ തത്രോപവിഷ്ട പരമാസനേ വിഭോ ഭവോ സുഭാസോ കുകുഭോ ഭാസയൻ വൃതോ നൃസിംഹൈര്യതുവിര്യതുത്തമോ യതോടുരാജാദിവിതാരകാഗണേ തഥോപമന്ദനോ രാജൻ നാനാഹാസ്യരസൈർവിഭം ഉപതസ്തുർനടാചാര്യം നർത്തകിസ്താണ്ടവൈ പൃഥക് ബൃതംഗ വീണാമുരജം വേണുതാളതരസ്വനെ നദൃതൂജഗൃഹസ്തുഷ്ടുവശ്ച സുതമാഗതവന്തിനാം തത്രാഹുർബ്രാഹ്മണാകേജി ദാസീനാം ബ്രഹ്മവാദിനാം പൂർവേഷാം പുണ്യേശസാം രാജ്ഞാം ചാകഥയൻ കഥ തത്രൈക പുരുഷോ രാജ നാഗദോപുരവദർശന വിജ്ഞാവിദോ ഭഗവതേ പ്രതീഹാരേ പ്രവേശിത നമസ്കൃത്യ കൃഷ്ണായ പരേശായ കൃതാഞ്ജലി രാജ്ഞാമാവേദയ ദുഃഖം ജരാസന്ധ നിരോധജം ഏജദ്വിജയേതസ്യ സന്നതിം ജയൂർനൃപ പ്രസഹ്യരുദ്ധാസേനാസൻ ഐദേദ്ഗിരിവ്രജേ കൃഷ്ണകൃഷ്ണാപ്രമേയാത്മൻ പ്രപന്നഭയവഞ്ജന വയം ത്വാം ശരണം യാമോ ഭവതീതാ പ്രതഗ്ധിയ ലോകോ വിനകർമ്മനിരതകുശലേ പ്രമത്ത കർമ്മണ്യയം ഇത്തുദ്ദിതേ ഭവദർച്ചനേ സ്വേ യസ്താവദസ്യ ബലവാനിഹ ജീവിതാശാം സദ്യച്ഛനത്യ നിമിഷായ നമോസ്തു തസ്മൈ ലോകേ ഭവാൻ ജഗതിനക്കളയാവതീകരണം സദ്ദക്ഷണായ കലനിഗ്രഹണായ ജാന്യാം കശ്ചിൽ ത്വദീയമതിയാദിന്ദ്രിയശമീഷം കിം വാചന സുഹൃതമൃച്ഛതി തന്ന വിദ്മാ സപ്തായുധം നൃപസുഖം പരതന്ത്രമീഷ ശശ്വൽഭയേന മൃതകേന ധുരം വഹാമ ഹിത്വാതാത്മനി സുഖം ത്വദനീഹലഭ്യം കൃഷ്യാമഹേതി കൃപണാസ്തവമായേഹ തന്നോ ഭവാൻ പ്രണതശോകരാംഗ്രിയുഗ്മോ ബദ്ധാൻ വിയുക്ഷ മകദാഹോയ കർമ്മപാശാൽ യോ ഭുഭുജോയിതമതം ഗജവീര്യമേകോ വിഭ്രദ്രുരുദ്രുരോധഭവനെ മൃഗരാടിവാവി യോ വൈ ത്വയാ ദിനവകൃത്തുമുദാന്തചക്രം ഭഗ്നോ മൃതേ ഖലു ഭവന്തമനന്തവീര്യം ജിത്വാ നൃലോക നിരതം സകൃദൂടദർപ്പോ യുഷ്മൽ പ്രചാരിതിനോചിത ദ്വിദേഹി ദൂതവാചാം ഇതി മാഗത സംരുദ്ധ ഭവദർശനകാംക്ഷിണാം പ്രപന്നാപാദമൂലം തേ ദീനാനാംശം വിധീയതാം ശ്രീശുകവാചാം രാജദൂതേ പ്രവത്യേവം ദേവർഷീപരമദ്യുതി വിബ്രൽപിംഗജടാഭാരം പ്രാദുരാസീദ്യതാരവി തം ദൃഷ്ടോ ഭഗവാൻ കൃഷ്ണ സർവലോകേശ്വരേശ്വര വന്ദമുദിത ശീർഷ്ണ സസഭ്യസാനുഗോമുദ സഭാ ജയിത്വാവിധികൾ കൃതാസന പരിഗ്രഹം ഭാഷേ സൂനൃതൈർവാക്കേ ശ്രദ്ധയാദർപ്പയൻ മുനി അഭിസ്തുതദ്യലോകാനാം ത്രയാണാമകുതോഭയം മനുഭൂയാൻ ഭഗവതോ ലോകാൻ പര്യടതോ ഗുണ നഹിമേ വിദിതം കിഞ്ചൽ ലോകേഷീശ്വരകർത്തൃഷു അഥ പൃഷ്ടാമഹേഷ്വാൻ പാണ്ഡവാനാം ശകേർഷിതം ശ്രീ നാരദവാച ദൃഷ്ടാമായാദേവശോദുരത്തെയാ മായാവിഭോ വിശ്വസൃജശ്ചമായിനാം ഭൂതേഷു ഭൂം ശരദസ്വശക്തിവി വന്നേരിവച്ചനരുചോദമേദ്ഭുതം തവേഹിതം ഗോർഹതി സാധുവേദിതം സ്വമായേദം സൃജതോ നിയച്ഛത യദ്യുദ്യമാനാത്മതയാവഭാസതേ തസ്മൈ നമസ്തേ സ്വവിലക്ഷണാത്മനി ജീവസേയ സംസാരതോ വിമോക്ഷണം നജാനതോനർത്ഥമഹാശരീരത ലീലാവതാരേ സ്വേഷ പ്രദീപകം പ്രാജ്വാലയത്വാതമഹം പ്രപദ്യേ അഥാപ്യശ്രാവേ ഭ്രമം നരലോക വിടംബനം രാജ്ഞപൈതൃശ്വസേയസ്യ ഭക്തസ്യ ച വികീർഷിതം യക്ഷതി ത്വാം മഹേന്ദ്രേണ രാജസൂയേന പാണ്ഡവ പാരമേഷ്ടകാമോ നൃപതി സദ്ഭവാൻ അനുമോദതാം തസ്മിൻ ദേവകൃതുവരെ ഭവന്തം വൈസുരാദയ ദിദൃക്ഷവാസമേഷ്യന്തി രാജാനശേഷസ്വിനാം ശ്രവണാത് കീർത്തനേ ധ്യാനാത് പൂയന്തേ അന്തേവസായിനാം തവ ബ്രഹ്മമയശേഷ കമുദീക്ഷാഭിമർഷിനാം യസ്യാമലം ദിവേശ പ്രദം രസായം ഭൂമൗചദേ ഭുവനമംഗളദിഗ്വിതാനാം മന്ദാകിനി ദിദിഭോഗവതീതി ചാതു ഗംഗേരി ചരണാം പുനാദിവിശ്വം ശ്രീശുകോവാചാം തത്ര ദേഷ്വാത്മപക്ഷേഷു അഗ്നൽസ്വിജീഷയ വാജപേഷേർസ്മയൻ നൃത്യം ഉദ്ധവപ്രാഹകേശവ ശ്രീ ഭഗവാന് വാച തത്വമിഹ പരമം ചക്ഷു സുഖൻ മന്ദാർത്ഥതത്വവേൻ തന്മ തഥാത ബ്രൂഹ്യനിഷ്ഠേയം ശ്രദ്ധത്മ കരവാമദൻ ഇത്യുവാ മന്ത്രിയോ വർത്ത സർവജ്ഞേന വിമുഗ്ധവ ദേശം ജനസാധായ ഉദ്ധവ പ്രത്യഭാഷത. ഇത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണി പാരമംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം വിഷ്ണുസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ ഭഗവദ്ധ്യാന വിചാരേ സപ്തതിതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ശ്രീ ഏകസപ്തതമോധ്യായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ശ്രീശുകുവാചാം ഇത്യുദീരീതമാകർണ്യം ദേവർഷീരുദ്ധമോ ബ്രവീൻ സഭ്യാനാം മതമാജ്ഞായ കൃഷ്ണസ്യ ച മഹാമതി ഉദ്ധവോവാച യദുക്തം ഋഷണാം ദേവ സാജിവ്യം മക്ഷ്യതസ്വയ കാര്യം വൈദൃഷസേയസ്യ രക്ഷാച ശരണേഷീണാം യഷ്ടവ്യം രാജസൂയേന ദിക്ചക്രജൈനാ വിഭോ അതോജരാസുരജയ ഉഭയാർത്ഥോ മതോ മമ അസ്മാകം ച മഹാനത്വോ ഏതേനൈവ ഭവിഷ്യതി യശശ്ച തവ ഗോവിന്ദ രാജ്ഞോ ബദ്ധാന്യോഞ്ചത സവൈ ദുർവിഷഹോ രാജ നാഗായുധ സമോബലേ ബലിനാമവന്യേഷാം ഭീമം സമബലം വിന ദ്വൈരദേ സുജേതവ്യോ മാശദാക്ഷൗഹിണീയുത ബ്രഹ്മണ്യോഭ്യർത്ഥിതോ വിപ്രേ ന പ്രത്യാഖ്യാതി കർഹിച്ചിൽ ബ്രഹ്മവീഷതരോഗത്വ തമ്പിക്ഷേത മൃഗോദര അനുഷ്യതി സന്ദേഹോ ന സന്ദേഹോ ദ്വൈരധേതവ സന്നിധൗ നിമിത്തം പരമീശസ്യ വിശ്വസർഗ നിരോധയ ഹിരണ്യഗർഭഗത്വശ്ച ശർവശ്ച കാലസ്യാരൂപിണസ്തവ ഗായന്തി ദേവിശതകർമ്മഗൃഹേഷു ദേവ്യോ രാജ്ഞാം സശത്രു വധം ആത്മവിമോക്ഷണം ച ഗോപ്യശ്ച കുഞ്ചരപതിർജനകാത്മജായ പിത്രോശ്ച രത്നശരണാമുനയോ വയം ച ജരാസന്ധവതകൃഷ്ണ ഭൂയർത്ഥായോപകൽപതേ പ്രായഭാഗവിഭാഗേന തവചാഭിമതക്രതു ശ്രീശുകൗവാച ഇത്യുദ്ധവോജോരാജൻ സർവതോപദ്രമച്യുതം ദേവർഷീരുദ്ധവൃദ്ധാശ്ച കൃഷ്ണശ്ച പ്രത്യപൂജയൻ അഥാദീശൽ പ്രയാണായ ദേവ ഭഗവാൻ ദേവകീസുത വൃത്യാന്താരുകചൈത്രാദീൻ അനുജ്ഞാപ്യ ഗുരുവൻ വിഭു നൃഗമയ്യാവരോധാൻ സ്വാൻ സസുതാൻ സപരിച്ഛതൻ സംഘർഷണം അനുജ്ഞാപ്യ എതിരാജം ശത്രുഹൻ സുതോപനീതം സ്വരതം ആരുഹൽ ഗരഡധ്വജം തഥോരദ്യുപടസാധിനായകെ കരാളയാപരിതമാത്മസേനയ മൃദംഗേരിയാനക ശംഖഗോമുഖെ പ്രകോഷഘോഷിതകുപോ നിരാക്രമൽ നിർവാചികാഞ്ചനശ്വികാഭിരച്യുതം സാത്മജ പതിമനു സുഹൃദായു വരാംബരാംബരാഭരണ വിലേപനസ്രജ സുസമൃത നബിരസി ചർമ്മപാണിഭി നരോഷ്ടകോ മഹിഷാഖരാശുധര്യന കരേണുഭി പരിജനാവാരയോഷിത സുലംകൃത കടകുടികമ്പളാംബര ദ്യുപസ്കര യൈരധിയുജ്യ സർവദ ബലം ബൃഹദ്വജപടചത്രചാമരേ വരായുധാഭരണഗിരീടവർമഭി ദിവാംശുഭി സുമലരവംഭപൗരവേ യഥാർണമക്ഷുഭിതമിതിമിംഗലോർമഭി അധോ മുനിരുപതിദിനാസമാചിത പ്രണമ്യതം ഹൃതിവിദഹദ്വിഹായസ നിശമ്യദ്വ്യവസമാഹൃതാർഹണോ മുകുന്ദ സന്ദർശന നിർവൃതേന്ദ്രിയ രാജമൂതമുവാചേതം ഭഗവാൻ പ്രീണയാൻഗിര മാഭൈഷ്ടദൂതഭൂതാഭദ്രം വോ ഘാതയിഷ്യാമി മാഗതം ഇത്യുക്ത പ്രസ്ഥിതോ ദൂതോ യഥാവതവതൻ നൃപാൻ ദേവി സന്ദർശനം ശൗരെ പ്രത്യക്ഷ നിയമമുന്മുക്ഷവ ആ നർത്തസൗവീരമരും തീർത്വാ വിനശനം ഹരി ഗിരീന്മതീരതിയായ പുരഗ്രാമവൃജാകരൻ തതോ നൃഷദ്വതീം തീർത്തോ മുകുന്ദോ ദസരസ്വതീം പഞ്ചാലാനദമത്സ്യാംശ ശക്രപ്രസമധാഗമത് തമുഗാഗതമാകർണ്യ പ്രീതോ ദുർദർശനം നൃണം അജാതശത്രു നിരകാൻ സോപാധ്യായ സുഹൃത് ഗീതവാദിത്രഘോഷേണ ബ്രഹ്മഘോഷേണ ഭൂയസ അഭ്യയാർത്ഥകൃഷികേശം പ്രാണാപ്രാണമിവാദൃത ദൃഷ്ടാവിക്ലന്യഹൃദയ കൃഷ്ണം സ്നേഹേന പാണ്ഡവ ചിരാദൃഷ്ടം പ്രേതമം സസ്വചേത പുനഃപുന ദോർഭ്യാംബരീഷരമാമലാലയം കുന്ദഗാത്രം നിർവിദർഹദാശുഭ ലേഭൈ പരാം നിർവൃതി അശ്വലോചനോ ക്ഷേത്രനോ വിസ്മൃതലോക വിഭ്രമ തം മാതുലയം പരിരഭ്യ നിർവൃതോ ഭീമസ്സൂയം പ്രേമജവാകുലേന്ദ്രിയ യമോ കിരീടി സുഹൃത്തമം മുത പ്രവൃത്ത ബാഷ്പാപരിരേഭിരേച്ഛിതം അർജുനേന പരിഷക്തോ യമാഭ്യാമഭിവാദിതാം ബ്രാഹ്മണേഭ്യോ നമസ്കൃത്യ വൃദ്ധേഭ്യശ്ചേതാർഹത മാനിതോ മാനയാമാസ കുരുസഞ്ചേ കൈകയാൻ സൂതമാഗത ഗന്ധർവ വന്ദിനശോഭമന്ത്രിണ മൃദംഗ ശംഖപടഃ വീണപാണോ ഗോമുഖൈ ബ്രാഹ്മണാശ്ചരവിന്ദാക്ഷം തുഷ്ടുർജഗു ഏവം സുഹൃദ്വര്യസ്ഥ പുണ്യശ്ലോക ശിഖാമണി സംസ്തൂയമാനോ ഭഗവാൻ വിവേശാലംകൃതം പുരം സംസിക്തവർമ്മകരിണ മദഗന്ധതോയെ ശ്രുത്രദ്വജൈ കനകതോരണ പൂർണകുംഭൈ മൃഷ്ടോത്മവിനോദൂലഭൂഷണസ്ര ദുഗൂലവിഭൂഷണസ്ര ഗന്ധൈർനിവിരുവിദിവിശ്ച വിരാജമാനം ഉദ്ദീപ്തവിദീപ്തബലഭി പ്രതിസത്മജാലം നിരാതരൂപതിരുചനം വിലസൽപദാകം മൂർധന്യ ഹേമകലശൈ രജതോരു ശൃംഗൈ ജുഷ്ടം ദദർശഭവനൈ കുരുരാജദാമ പ്രാപ്തം നിശമ്യ നരലോചനപാനപാത്രം ഔത്സുക്യ വിശ്ലേഷ ദൂലബന്ധ സദ്യോ വിസൃജ്യ ഗ്രഹകർമ്മപതീം ചതൽപൈ ദൃഷ്ടം യയൂര്യവതയാസ്മ നരേന്ദ്രമാർഗേ തസ്മിൻ സുസംഗലമിഭാശ്വരദ്വിബദ്ധി കൃഷ്ണം സഭാര്യമുപലഭ്യ ഗൃഹാതിരൂഢ ആര്യോ വികീര കുസുമൈർ മനസോപഗുഹ്യ സുസ്വാഗതം വിധദുരത് അരുസ്മയ വീക്ഷിതേന ഊജുസ്ത്രീയാപതി നിരീക്ഷ മുകുന്ദ പത്നി സാരോ യഥാടുവസഹ കിമകാര്യമോഭി യക്ഷുഷാം പുരുഷമൌലി ദുരാദഹാസം ലീലാവലോകളയോത്സവം ആതനോതി തത്ര തത്രോപസംഗമ്യം പൗരാമംഗളപാണയ ചക്രുസപര്യാം കൃഷ്ണായ ശ്രേണീ മുഖ്യാഹദേന സ അന്തപുരജനെ പ്രീത്യ മുകുന്ദഫുല്ലലോചനെ സസംഭ്രമൈരഭിപേത്യ അഭ്യുവേദ പ്രാവശദ്രാജമന്ദിരം പ്രീതാവിലോക്യ ഭ്രാതേയം ഭ്രാത്രേയം കൃഷ്ണം ത്രിഭുവനേശ്വരം പ്രീതാത്മോത്ഥായ പര്യങ്ക സസ്നുഷാ പരിഷസ്വചേ ഗോവിന്ദം ഗ്രഹമാനീയ ദേവദേവേഷ മാതൃത പൂജയാം നാവിതർകൃത്യം പ്രമാദോ പ്രമോദോപഹൃതാ നൃപ പിതൃഷ്വർസ്വർഗുരുശ്രീനാം കൃഷ്ണചക്രേവാദനം സ്വയം ച കൃഷ്ണയാരാജൻ ഭഗിന്യാ ചാഭിവന്ദിത ശുശ്രുവാ സംജോദിത കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണപത്നീശ്ച സർവശ ആനർച്ച രുക്മിണീം സത്യം ഭദ്രാം ചാഭവതീം തഥാ കാളിന്ദ്യാം മിത്രവിന്ദാം ച ശൈഭ്യാം നഗ്നജിതീം സതീം അന്യശ്ചാഭ്യാഗതായാസ്തു വാസസ്രംഗമണ്ഡനാധിപി സുഖം നിവാസയാമാസ ധർമ്മരാജോചനാർദ്ദനം സ സൈന്യം സ്വാനികാമാത്യം സഭാര്യം ച നവം നവം തർപ്പയിത്വ ഖാണ്ഡവേന വന്യം ഫാൽഗുന സംയുത മോചയിത്വമയമേന രാജ്ഞേതി വ്യാസഭാകൃത ഉപാസകതി ജിന്മാസാൻ രാജ്ഞപ്രേജകീർഷയ വിഹന്നതമാരുഹ്യ ഫാൽഗുനേന ഭടൈർവൃത ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമംസ്യം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ കൃഷ്ണസേന്ദ്രപ്രസ്ഥഗമനം നാമ ഏകസപ്തതി നമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ വിൽ കണ്ടിന്യൂ ടുമോറോ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ.